blah 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 blah
blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 62 of Blah Blah Podcast, a very special patriotic episode, because it's all Captain America Civil War spoilers, movie discussion, and everything in between. Full spoilers ahead, everybody. If you haven't seen this movie, do not listen to this episode. I am Jason Green, and with me as always is Sean Smith.
Hello there.
Hey, what's up, man?
I feel like shit.
Well, you look like it, too. Evan Moore.
Hello, everybody.
Evan Moore. Benny P.
What up?
What up? Joe Bo.
In the words of the great Slurms McKenzie, whimmy wham wham wazzle.
And filling in the sixth chair, Mr. Christopher, hold that phone, whole shoe.
I am holding my phone, so I don't know how you knew that.
So, Evan, before we get into this, you got something special in the mail.
Yeah, I just want to reenact a little scene for everybody. I'm driving home from work, and my mom calls me, and she's like, oh, you coming home for dinner? I'm like, yeah, you know. So she goes, hey, you got a big package from Amazon.
Oh,
you got a big package.
I said, I got a big package from Amazon. I didn't order anything off of Amazon. She goes, oh, it feels really light. It feels like there's nothing in here. I said, well, open it up. And I said, wait, you know what? Don't open it up, because it's probably either Sean, Jason, Chris, Benny, or Jobo pranking me. So just put it in my room. So I come home later. I forgot all about it. It's on my bed. And I take a box cutter and I open the box. And just immediately there's these horrible, nasty, disgusting teeth staring back at me. And I throw the box in disgust, and like, because it really actually scared me. And turns out it's a disgusting, old, dirty,
maybe even used.
You clearly used plastic Jar Jar Binks mask.
Well, you're his biggest fan, right?
Uh-huh.
He is now.
Well, yes, now who do you think sent you that head?
Well, I know it was all of you, so
I had nothing to do with it.
It's, you know, whatever. But
I think
that it's been a long time coming since I said I was going to buy this head because of the bet, and I think that now we have to put that in motion. Jobo, are you ready to do this?
What am I doing again?
You're holding the boom box.
Oh yeah.
Why don't you reiterate this bet real quick for any new listeners?
So I lost a bet, and I can't remember what the bet was. What was the bet about?
It was Snoke was, who was it?
If Kylo Ren was Jar Jar, right?
Oh, Kylo Ren.
No, Kylo Ren was Luke.
Was Luke?
If Kylo Ren was not Luke Skywalker,
It was something else.
If Kylo Ren was not Luke Skywalker, I would have to go into a public place dressed as Jar Jar Binks and make an ass out of myself. But then we kind of altered the bet because we added it to another bet, which I don't remember what that bet was about.
That was about the apocalypse.
No. That was Writings on the – excuse me.
Writings on the Wall. Right?
If Writings on the Wall wins Best Picture, I will
best
sing
picture.
It.
No,
or
best song.
Best song. I will
picture of a song.
I will sing the whole thing a cappella. Well, we kind of combined the two ideas together, and I said, well, I'll put on the Jar Jar mask in public and sing Writings on the Wall from Spectre as Jar Jar Binks. And I said that I would do this, and truth be told, I forgot. I have not been avoiding it. I've just forgotten.
Sure.
And I guess Sean felt it appropriate to start get the ball rolling on this. And
so why am I involved in this now?
Because you agreed at some point that you would be like Evan.
Oh yeah,
that
I did.
I'll put on a mask.
No, you said you would do this if I joined you. And
well, someone else said.
Well, hold on.
Else
I think Jobo has to dress. I think Jobo has to dress as boss.
No. That was if he lost.
I ain't dressing up like shit, yo.
Yeah, but you're gonna have to assist. But you're assisting me.
No, I'm assisting you.
I think what Jobo has to do is he needs to have something playing the theme song to Spectre.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'll carry a boombox.
Yeah.
Yes, and then I have to like be like, Misa been here before. in some sort of public setting like a Walmart where I can get thrown out and arrested. So that is,
and then you're promptly putting that up to YouTube and Facebook, right?
Well, yeah, that'll be all over, I'm sure, YouTube and Facebook. We'll have to plan when that'll happen. I guess any of the surprise for our listeners is gone.
Yeah, this week sent me this
terrifying mask.
This week in Miscellaneous, a guy gets kicked out of Walmart, dresses Jar Jar Binks.
He yells, guy wearing Jar Jar Binks mask,
a supposed member of ISIS. It's just like my picture on CNN.com. Like, oh, great.
Jar Jar Binks.
Hold on. He could get on Tosh.0.
Is that still a thing?
That is still, it has not been canceled yet.
That's surprising.
This might end up turning into a movement, like kind of like V for Vendetta, how everyone wears the V for Vendetta masks and they're anonymous. Like, it might just be like the Jar Jar Binks initiative, and like, we're going to start like a rebellion.
Yeah, hashtag Oscar's so lame. So we're just going to.
Hashtag don't George's dream. Misa.
That's George's dream to have like Jar Jar Binks movement or something like that.
Well, he's a funnier character than we've had before. We can get him working.
The one film we saw all saw this past week.
He's already starting.
Was none other than Batman versus Superman.
God.
None other than Captain America Civil War. So, final warning, ladies and gentlemen, full spoilers ahead. We are dissecting the movie from top to bottom.
Any of our listeners who know our movie reviews by now should know that. Don't listen to our reviews. We don't do like non-spoiler sections into spoiler sections. It's a spoiler cast. You're gonna get spoilers. Exactly.
I'm just reiterating for anyone.
Oh yeah, exactly. I'm just reiterating for the people who know us. You know,
I want to reiterate your asshole.
Please do. It's filled with jar.
Raising.
All right. Sean, open that IMDb page up and let's start from the very beginning. So we open with a sunset. With the
oh God, Jesus, come on.
There's a funeral going on. No. Okay, so the movie opens. Oh, wait. Aren't we going quick what we thought first before we go into the movie?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I'll go
Come
first.
Come on, Jason, you asshole.
I need to wear the Jar Jar Binks mask to keep my concentration. Sorry, I had a really long day walking around Wall Street and shit. Okay, so I really loved this movie. It was everything that other movie that shall not be named should have been and excelled at it. I was listening to the people on IGN talk about it, and they kind of reiterated how I felt as well, that the whole movie was really, 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 really good, and the ending was just a little bit okay. I don't feel like the movie ended. I kind of felt like it just stopped. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Overall, I absolutely love this film. Joe, what did you think?
I loved it. I didn't like it as much as Winter Soldier, though that may change with a second viewing. Mm. But I really like this movie. I felt, unlike Zack Snyder's bowel movement, every character in this movie had motivation. There was a reason for things. There was an actual conflict. I felt conflicted, like which side is the right side in this? And I thought everyone was great. They all worked together very well. The villain was one of my favorite villains in the MCU. I really loved it.
Evan, what did you think?
I actually disagree with Jobo on the villain point, although I did like Zemo a lot. I liked his motivations. But I'll just say overall, and I don't think that we should compare it to Batman versus Superman, but it's almost like how can't you?
You almost can't.
Like, yeah. It's almost like it's a joke. It's like it's like Zack Snyder made Batman versus Superman, and Marvel's like, cute, here's how you do it. I loved it. I actually left beaming. My initial reaction was, this is the best film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Almost, and I actually felt that by far. Upon further consideration, I would place it at third. I think Captain America Winter Soldier is the best.
Oh, actually, we were going to get to that later. We're going to have everyone list their top three.
All right. Yeah. So, well, I would put this third. However, I just want to reiterate that I loved it. And I agree with Jobo that I bought the motivations of these characters. And I really, really, really couldn't side with one. I thought that this also delve a lot into, and I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, you know, Batman versus Superman did the politics and everyone hated that, but the politics were, because they were done in a way here.
You can understand
that,
it.
That it was simple. It was like, look, the government thinks you're out of control. So do we conform or do we not? And that was the rift. And to me, it made sense. I loved it. I really was on the edge of my seat. I loved the way that they interwove all the characters, and it was a blast. I even got the commemorative cup from the movie. So I don't get commemorative cups for any movie.
I don't know, Evan, you steal a lot of cups.
This one was not stolen. I bought this for like $12, all right, with a big soda. it was worth my money.
Sean, what'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I thought that it was basically Avengers 2.5. I think it improved from a lot of what people were complaining about with Age of Ultron. Jobo was saying, I do agree that I thought the villain was good. I thought he actually had a purpose, unlike some of the other Marvel villains. And the only criticism that I really have of the movie is I was not a fan of the way that they shot the action in the movie, because
we can get to that. I have a huge problem with that, actually.
It doesn't really fit into the whole plot, so I figure I'd get it out now. But I really feel like, and it's basically what people make fun of the Dark Knight movies for, because it's you can't tell what's going on. It's really quick cuts, it's close ups, and it just things are happening really quick. And people will give shit to Christopher Nolan's movies for having that in there. Yet I don't think anyone's going to say anything about this, because, you know,
Sean, did you think this was a problem the entire movie? Because when
most
I went
of the
in,
movie, yeah,
when I the first Black action Widow fight scene. The Black Widow fight scene and with the Scarlet Witch and all that shit in the beginning, I was so disoriented. And I'm like, I think there's something wrong with the projector. I actually was like, do I get up and say something to the theater mat? Like, I was thinking, oh my God, like the frame rate's off. But no, I mean, the beginning action scene, I couldn't even really watch.
The only,
I have a
but
theory
I think
for
it
that.
Got better.
What's the theory?
I think it got better over time.
Well, Scarlett Johansson, I think maybe her stunt person might not have been the same person that usually is, because I was looking at the stunt person doing the stunts and stuff, and I'm like, this doesn't look anything like Black Widow.
Yeah, because she was pregnant at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
So I'm thinking that to hide the fact that it looks different, they shook the camera a lot.
But this was every fight scene, though.
I didn't see it in every fight scene. I just saw it.
I noticed specifically in hers. I didn't notice it in all of them.
The only scene that didn't have as much of it was the airport scene.
The airport scene, we'll get
but
to that.
But other than that, every other fight scene in the movie was cut and shot the same way, and it was really disorienting.
Yeah, I want to just mention how, then I'll ask the rest of you guys what you thought, but real quick, how I watched Winter Soldier, like, the day before I saw Civil War, and, you know, the fighting was extremely fluid and easy to follow. But the other thing was, like, you know how when they were transitioning to each place in Civil War, they had the giant title cards?
Oh,
like,
God, I hated that.
Really, I liked it, but I just want to, like,
it kind of fell out of place.
Well,
it took me out of the movie. Just,
I don't know the proper terminology for this, but this movie was directed by the same people as who directed Civil War, but it feels like a different movie. Like, if you look at location cards in Winter Soldier, it's on the bottom right,
and it's got like longitude. Yeah.
And it feels like, because that's a spy thriller. But what would you classify as Civil War? Because it definitely
honestly
does not follow the same thing.
If we're going by a genre, I classify it as a revenge movie.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a versus movie. This
is that
like
its own genre?
I would say that's its own genre. But like King Kong versus Godzilla, Freddy versus Jason, Batman versus Superman. This falls into that. Alien versus Predator. This falls into the mashup versus type movie.
I thought it was a romance movie.
I loved it.
That was Deadpool.
I mean, I love this movie. I'm nitpicking, by the way. I think all of this is nitpicking.
Chris, what did you think?
Well, I got to say, I really liked the movie. But just so it's not like a repeated record, I guess I'll play devil's advocate and kind of counterpoint some things. I think the reason the movie ended not... All right, who's doing cocaine?
The hell was that?
It was Sean.
It's off. It's
off microphone. Just keep going.
It's going to be a long night, Sean.
Okay, so...
ignore that.
The movie didn't have a definitive ending, but I think that's good. The Marvel Universe is different now. It's not the way it was.
It felt like an Empire Strikes Back type ending, where you're left on a cliffhanger because shit went bad.
Yeah.
It's the community of these heroes is destroyed now. Like, it's broken. Were
we left on a cliffhanger? Because that note and Iron Man's reaction to the note wasn't exactly like, oh, fuck this guy. It was kind of like, oh...
Captain. Well, they're like on good terms now as friends, I think, but they're
I don't know about that.
Keep their distance, I should say.
A lot of the characters are still friends, like Black Widow and Hawkeye, Vision and Scarlet Witch.
It's basically just down to Captain America and Iron Man. That's where
they had
the problem
a couple quarrel. You know, they're separated now. The kids are in different houses.
I mean, but they're really the two main ones.
Well,
of
the one kid's frozen.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah. And Benny, what did you think?
I liked it. I'm going to give it a solid B-minus. I have five issues with the movie that I'll talk about later, and I have one interesting point on what I felt the Accords were a social commentary on. But, I mean, I liked it. It met my expectations, and some aspects it exceeded my expectations. I loved the airport fight sequence. I thought that was very...
That was the best part.
It was well done in terms of what happened. It fit and it was appeasing to the eye. People looked strong, and I think afterwards it had me like sitting there going, "Oh, I want to see this fight. I want to see that fight," and it made me feel like a kid again. But there are some issues with it. There are some contrary to what some of you guys have said, there are some motivation issues for it for me. And I felt like Zemo was kind of boring. I felt like I see how he can be a good hero, a villain. But I felt like he was boring. Also, why is Iron Man still making decisions? After Ultron, I wouldn't have allowed him.
Well, that's the reason. Well, no, it's not that he's making decisions. It's that he's agreeing to be someone else's pawn. Like, he's agreeing that they need to be regulated. So
I get
decisions
that.
Won't happen.
Yeah,
I get that.
The decision was Ross's.
Jobo, I get that. But at the same time, I felt like Iron Man was like the leader of his of the one half. And I'm sitting there going, but wait, if I am any Avenger, I'm going, hold on, dude. Remember when you almost ended the world? Like, I know Captain America and his calls with Winter Soldier have not been great, but that hasn't ended the world.
But
like,
he's brought that up too.
Even creating Vision almost was a mistake. Like, understand... putting myself in the Avengers shoes when Vision was created, if Vision's a bad guy, we know he's a good guy, but if Vision's a bad guy, you've now not only fucked everyone, you've fucked everyone in the universe.
I think that this is all an evolution of Tony Stark's character. When we see him at the beginning of Iron Man till now, from 2008 till now, I think that we've watched the character deteriorate, because even the whole movie, he doesn't look good. His suits are all unbuttoned. He's got a black eye the whole movie. And I think that, you know, any of the complaints, a lot of the complaints I hear are like, hey, he's not Tony Stark. But I think that
Tony
works
Stank.
Here. Because we're not being introduced to the character. We've watched this character devolve. Yeah. Tony Stank. That was funny as shit.
Yeah. I think it fits. We see him devolve physically, and we see him devolve emotionally. I see that, but at the same time, I felt like this movie made Iron Man look very very stupid. But we'll get to that later.
Jason, if you don't mind, if I go real quick.
Go ahead.
One thing that I think was downplayed in this movie is how much the Avengers have done. Everyone was pissed at the Avengers for New York and for... Sokovia and wherever the other movies took place, London, I guess.
And then whatever happened in this one, they were.
But like, if those heroes had not done anything, the world would have ended. So I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what
the idea was. The idea was that things have gotten worse since they started saving things.
Like,
and they're right, and they're 100%. It's almost like, you know, kind of satirical in the sense it's like the creation of the superheroes has led to the rise of the supervillains.
That woman at the beginning of the movie, though, that was like yelling at Tony Stark for killing her son. It's like, yeah, but if they had done nothing, that
you'd be
city would have been a comet and he would have died.
Anyway. Everyone would have died.
You'd be pissed too.
Would have killed you.
All right, settle down,
idiot.
Everybody. Settle down.
That's a thing that happened in the comics too. Tony Stark was giving a picture from a mother of someone who died in the Stamford accident. In the comics, it was a little different. how it happened. The villain blew up and it killed a lot of people because of a bunch of reckless heroes. And this mother gives him a picture. It's like, this is the face of the people that you that are in the crossfires. My son, who was in the comic a child, not even like a grown adult like in the movie, a child. So it was even tougher then. But it both sides have really strong arguments. You got to look at Tony Stark. He's coming off of the events of Age of Ultron. Like we said, he created Ultron. He's feeling guilty about it. And then you got to look at Cap, and he's coming off of the Winter Soldier, where he saw the entire S.H.I.E.L.D. organization has been infiltrated by Hydra. In his eyes, how do we know that an organization isn't going to infiltrate this new government system?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know? They both have strong reasons why they feel the way they are, spread across several movies, so you understand
why. Which is why I love the motivations here. I think that's why the motivations work. I've been with these characters long enough, and I really don't want to hit too hard on Batman versus Superman in this, because we've said so much. And I mean, I hate the movie even more now that I saw this, but we've seen these characters like evolve and devolve and change to the point that I saw two posters in a store, and I thought these were brilliant. It was one of Captain America that said freedom, and one of Iron Man that said justice. And I went, ooh, that's actually really interesting, because actually, pretty much, because the ones fighting for bigger government control, the ones fighting for less. Mm-hmm. And I look at this and I'm thinking, wow, like these are both symbols of peace and America and like all this great stuff, but they're really like divided on one key issue that's splitting apart the whole group. I'm like, this is just brilliant that we've seen the group split like this, and it makes sense by the time we got to this point. I think it's a perfectly placed movie. I also think titling it Captain America was smart, because it is a Captain America movie more than it is an Avengers movie, in my opinion. Some people will argue otherwise, but I think
everyone's got their own things going on in the movie, but they're not the focus of the movie.
But I think it's a direct follow-up to Winter Soldier.
It is. Yeah.
I just love how it did a great job of not, you know, shining light on one side too much. You know what I mean? Like, we're arguing
I couldn't decide which one I agreed with. Because I understood where both of them were coming from.
Yeah, me too. Did you guys – I don't know if this was a leg up or not over one other side, but did you guys notice that in the beginning when Iron Man and Captain America are in that glass room discussing whether to sign the thing or not, and Captain America's like, what if we need to go someplace and that they don't let us go to? And then later on in the film, Iron Man sneaks away to go meet Captain America and Winter Soldier in that ice fortress. So he was saying – he did exactly what Captain America said
that's interesting.
He should do.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, earlier in the film. So – and maybe Captain America has a little leg up in that sense, because Iron Man did do what he said he was – what a scenario that he said that could happen. You know what I mean?
And then at the end of the movie, Iron Man's ignoring Thunderbolt Ross, which is like
– exactly. That's
the second
exactly
time
what Captain
in that
America
movie he had to disobey an order.
Yeah.
I think when they said Secretary of State, I would have loved it to be Hillary Clinton. Like, that just would have been so funny if it, like, Hillary Clinton came out and was like, I'm the Secretary of State. I would have just laughed.
I'm surprised Ross is Secretary of State after the Incredible Hulk. I thought he would have just gotten fired.
You know what's interesting, though, is that they have the water prison and it's run by Ross. That's totally a setup for the Thunderbolts.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts is Marvel's Suicide Squad.
Oh, really? Well, interesting.
Well, it started out actually – it was a group of supervillains. It started out a group of supervillains who pretended to be heroes just as their master plan. But a lot of them started to enjoy being heroes. But then it became like you got Red Hulk in there. You got Ghost Rider. You got the Punisher, Elektra, Deadpool.
Daredevil. Yeah. No, it was Deadpool. I'm sorry.
Well, I just want to say, Jason, it's interesting you brought up the Iron Man kind of going away from what he'd been fighting for the entire movie, because I think what we saw, and Evan, we kind of talked about the devolving of Iron Man's character.
I guess would be the
whatever word.
The evolution.
Yep. There we go.
De-evolution. The de-evolution. Is that
Degeneration X. Iron Man, kind of realizing that hey, we need to find a happy medium here where the government kind of can control where we go, but if we need to intervene quickly, we can. The Accord, like this is where the Accords reminded me a lot of Benghazi.
We're
going to get heavy. Yeah, and Evan, I think, Evan, you were the one that pointed it out, and I, after I watched the movie, I went, it really does.
I don't think I was the one who pointed that. I think you pointed that out, and I was like, ooh, I agree with you. But I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it did, because it reminds me a lot of, okay, well, we'll wait to make a decision, and when you wait on something, a lot of people could die. It could be a good decision, could be a bad decision if you intervene too early. My argument with the Accords is, it seems like the basis for their argument is a lot of collateral damage, which is kind of a backhanded way of saying, hey, you're doing a great job defending these villains, but you're getting people killed. My argument against the Accords is, listen, the heroes don't pick where the villains fight. If the villain sets up in a city, example, Ultron, who set up in Sokovia,
We saw that here, too. Once the UN was bombed, right? And we'll get to this more, obviously. But once the UN was bombed, it was like, well, what do we do now? It's like they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to act. In fact, Captain America took it upon himself to seek out Bucky and everything. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it really – and I think the political – and again, this goes back to the grounding superheroes in real life, how would the government handle them? I do think that these conversations that we're having now are appropriate because I think that this fits into a comic book world. I don't know if you guys agree.
Why was the Accord signing televised? Well, like, wouldn't you think that wasn't a good idea to televise that?
Yeah, well,
I kind of
disagree
with your guys' theory. I think it's more based on the Superhuman Registration Act from the comic books.
Yeah,
well, it probably is, no shit, but... Yeah.
But we should probably go down the line now of the movie itself. So, Sean, please do the honors.
Okay, so the movie doesn't start with any Marvel logo or anything. It literally just opens up. It's 1991, and we have...
You know, it's weird to think that that's the past. It's like, I feel really old.
That's true.
Wait, hold on. It did start with the Marvel logo.
No, it didn't.
No,
it was
not right.
Open.
It opened with the it eventually showed the Marvel logo.
Yeah,
I got the
Marvel Studios logo. I didn't
after the scene when the Winter Soldier is awoken and they read him whatever the activation code is.
Freight car 1-1
poop.
Homecoming.
There's a couple theories about that we can get into later when Zemo finds him. But he's given the code and he goes out on a mission. He wipes out this car and then he goes into the trunk and we see something in the trunk and that's it. And then it goes to the Marvel logo, which was an interesting way to open the movie.
Because that doesn't really fit anywhere else in the, I mean, obviously it's a huge part of the movie, but scene doesn't fit as the opening of Captain America Civil War, but it fits
as a
prelude. Yeah. I mean, it opened on a pretty serious note.
Like that Winter Soldier, like theme that always plays that. Type song.
Can you do that again, Jason?
It's like
did you score this movie?
it sounded like Kim Davis having an orgasm.
It's like a disc scratching. You'll know it when you hear it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But that just noise or like ambient like music alone is just pretty like fear inducing to me because he's a scary motherfucker when he's brainwashed. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Sean, go on.
Okay, and then we get the actual opening, which is the scene with Captain America and his ragtag crew,
Avengers.
consisting of Black Widow, Scarlet Witch. Was
Falcon?
Was Vision there?
Vision and War Machine weren't there. Falcon was, though.
Falcon was there.
They're all talking on a bunch of teacups.
And basically, it's they're on a mission to stop Crossbones, who shows up in this movie. He was in the last one. He wasn't Crossbones in the last one.
Before he was Crossbones, if anyone is not sure who he is, he's that guy from Winter Soldier who – I don't remember the character's name.
Rock Rumlow.
It actually took me a while to figure out who the hell that was. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Like, he's a Hydra.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah. He works for Hydra. The building fell on him. That's all you need to know.
Yep.
Okay.
I got to say, I really love that, you know, it started at Winter Soldier, and then they did an Age of Ultron, and they're doing it here, where the movies start up with kind of an opening mission that kind of sets up the story, but it features like a villain that's not really a villain,
but it's
cool to
see. It's very James Bond, by the way. Yeah. That is
in Winter Soldier,
100% James Bond.
In Winter Soldier, you had them going up against Batroc. In Age of Ultron, they were going up against Strucker. Here they're going up against Crossbones, and I really like that idea. You're getting cool villains, and if you keep the villains alive, it's cool. People come back. They left Batroc alive. That was cool.
in Winter Soldier.
It's like, it's like the Rhino in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, they kept him alive.
Yeah, but it's just like
speaking
that.
Speaking of keeping alive, though, regarding Baron Strucker in Age of Ultron, because he, like, dies off-screen, spoilers, yeah, when they show, like, that. They get the iPad with, like,
the Facebook photo.
Out.
If you haven't seen Age of Ultron by now,
yeah,
there's nothing
they get on the HBO. iPad with, like, it's probably
the
already
photo
on.
On it, and he's, like, tagged in it with his throat slit.
Yeah.
I still don't believe Strucker's dead. I think that's just a cop-out, but that's, you know, I could be totally wrong.
He's in one of the Infinity Stones.
Yeah, yeah. But Sean, why don't you tell the audience what happens to Crossbones in this film?
Well, he goes a little boom-boom, I guess.
Boom!
I was a little disappointed, honestly. So,
hang on.
He's dead.
He survived a building falling on him.
But did you see how big that bomb was he had on him?
But like, I need to stress that in Winter Soldier, an entire building collapsed on him. I think there's a chance he made it out.
Yeah.
An explosion? I don't know. Like,
this death is the catalyst for the whole movie. His death really is the domino that starts the whole thing.
Well, not his death, but the collateral damage from his death.
Yes, Scarlet Witch
threw him up a little higher. It would have been fine.
Yeah, because so what happens is that he fights Captain America and they get tangled together and he decides, oh, I'm going to blow myself up like a suicide bomb. And Scarlet Witch intercepts that with her witch powers and she can't control it for long enough, so she throws him into a building. Unfortunately, there's people in there and then the bomb goes off. Yeah.
How powerful is Scarlet Witch?
Very.
Oh, well. Very. There are several comics. There's Avengers Disassembled where she – I just heard about this on another podcast. Joey, correct me if I'm getting this wrong. I'm sure you know more about it than I do. But in Avengers Disassembled, like, everyone goes their separate ways and she, like, uses her powers to make, like, a perfect world and puts everyone in their perfect world.
That's House of M.
That they want to be in.
Yeah, that's House of M where she –
great story.
Yeah, she recreates the – she pretty much changes all of history to Magneto being in charge. Because in the comics, she's the daughter of Magneto, but not anymore because the comics gotta fit the movies, but whatever. She recreates the entire world and there's, you know, Magneto's in charge and everything. And then things really get out of control and then she reverts reality back to the way it is, but whispers no more mutants. And then the majority of the mutant population on Earth loses their powers.
So she's that powerful.
She is.
Okay. Who knows
more
if they'll
actually... Vision.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, well, she overpowers Vision. I was surprised about that. I didn't know that she could do that. That's why.
Well, that's the whole thing between them is like because he knows that she's more powerful than he is, so he's kind of he's got to watch what he does, you know.
Yeah,
I have the comic books too.
Oh yeah,
I have a question.
They have kids in the comic books.
I have a question. Why are there so many tall buildings in Wakanda? Like, wouldn't you think this place?
They were in like another country.
No, they
that was in Berlin, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
I was Wakanda. Hold on.
They were in Nigeria, okay?
Oh, that's right. Laos. They were in Nigeria.
They said Laos.
It was Laos.
It was Laos.
It says Nigeria on here.
They're wrong. It was Laos.
You're a Laos.
well,
Laos has a lot of skyscrapers.
So then we go from that to the introduction of Iron Man in the movie, which is through... Another one, the de-aging effect that they've been doing with people. First, Michael Douglas in Ant-Man, and now Robert Downey Jr. in this movie.
Okay, have you guys ever heard of the Uncanny Valley? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's in Arizona. It's like that.
Remember they make computers?
No. The Uncanny Valley is an effect that your brain has when it sees something that it registers as, like, it looks extremely human-like, but is just not human enough that your brain registers it as uncomfortable and creepy. And, and that's what I got looking at that. At first I'm like, wow, is that Robert Downey Jr.? And if they would have kept him in the background, I would have been fine. But the second he got in that close up and he was staring right at the camera, I'm like, oh, it's fake. It reminded me of Patrick Stewart from X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh my god, he looked like Mr. Clean.
He wasn't good.
But like, see, that was all CG. That was like a complete CGI Patrick Stewart, as opposed to
This they did, and it looked good. I mean, it was a good effect. It worked for the purpose. But for me, I was like, I'm looking at an effect. I'm looking – like, I wish they would have just kept that in the background. I wish they didn't do the close-up. It was a little
– you know what that means, though, is that as time goes on and there's more Marvel movies being made, need to recast Robert Downey Jr.
No, they're just going to be like, hey, look, you're old and we don't like you, so we just CG'd you in this movie. We're not paying.
CG you from 10 years prior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do.
Sean?
So basically, he starts his foundation, and he's going to be giving money to a bunch of students to do whatever science projects that they want. And after the big event, he finds the woman whose son died in the Sokovia incident.
Now,
good scene, by the way.
Who was that actress? Because I recognize
her name was Alfie Allen. I think.
Is she the woman from Suicide Squad?
No.
Squad trailer.
No. That's a Viola Davis.
Alfre Woodard. She coincidentally, she's on the show right now. I think it's the How to Get Away with Murder.
Girlfriend watches that all the time.
Interestingly enough, she's going to be in Luke Cage as a completely different character.
Mm-hmm. Seriously?
Yeah. And she's going to be in Luke Cage. They didn't know she was casted in Luke Cage by the time she got her. Robert Downey Jr. got her a cameo.
Wow,
so,
that's funny.
They didn't know she's going to be playing Mariah Dillard.
Oh,
yay!
Everyone knows that.
Yeah,
I love that scene. I thought that was a really powerful moment. I like, again, kind of chipping away at Tony Stark's ego over these movies. Like, that really was a big blow to him, and that plays into the next scene where they're talking about.
And you know, people have been saying like, "Oh, well, you know, this one person changes his mind on everything." No,
that happens
in
the comics, doesn't it? But that's what Jumbo just said.
But this
that was a factor. I think the point you're going to make, Sean, is that there were things leading up to it.
Yeah, like this has been an accumulation of multiple movies. Like, and it started with the Avengers, with the whole New York incident. You know, because like even in Iron Man 3, like he's having PTSD because of it. You know, so he's dealing with some stuff. You know?
And I like the weakness of Tony Stark. I like the fact that this is over the course of many films. So any criticism towards any other movies that we've talked about on this podcast does not apply. But I like that we see him in the first Iron Man till now. He's almost a different person because of all
Breaking
the shit that he's been through.
He's no longer flashy and arrogant.
It would make sense that would be the way that his character would change.
The biggest light switch moment for him, if I can pinpoint it correctly, it's in Avengers 1 when he goes into space for a few seconds to throw that bomb away.
Mm-hmm.
Because after that, he realizes that there are so many bigger forces around. Because, you know, his ego's huge. His ego's the size of the world. But when he goes outside of the world, he realizes that Earth itself and his ego are pinhead small compared to what's out there. Yeah. He even kind of says that in Age of Ultron, I think. He's like, when I saw out there, I realized how small everything is. Something to that effect. That's why he's making Ultron.
I have a really good, Jobo, before you make your point, I have a really good comparison. It's almost like when he first starts out, he's like this irrational, radical Republican. Then he slowly turns into like this Democrat. Now he's back to more of a moderate Republican. It's kind
of
like how
I would actually argue
he grew up
a Democrat, but...
At the beginning of this movie, he is a Democrat. Towards the end of this movie, he is a moderate Republican because he's realizing that you need the best of both worlds. That's how I saw it.
Can we agree from this point forward, no more politics?
Yeah.
I could agree to that.
Joe, what were you going to say?
Going back to his PTSD thing, they kind of went back to that in this movie. Like I remember a scene where he was kind of like holding his chest. Like he was kind of like feeling that. Oh, yeah, he made a huge dookie.
He's coming.
But no, he there was that. And he mentions the line in it, like, when I found out what my weapons were being used for, I shut them down.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he mentions
he did
things
say that.
Like that, which happened in the first Iron Man.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he was saying that to Captain America, saying, like, look, when I realized that I have power that I might not be able to control, I stopped it. You are not stopping it. Like, why won't you do that? And again, I like that argument. I think that that's a good motivation for the two of them to split.
Mm-hmm. I like how they mentioned past Marvel movies, too. Like, he mentioned, a few years ago, Pepper Potts got the extremist thing, which is Iron Man 3.
And then, Ultron, he mentions, like, kind of offhanded, but you could tell it really bothers him. He's like, oh, and of course, Ultron. And it's like,
ooh. All right, Sean, what's coming down the line there?
So then after this, we get now Secretary of State Ross. He comes back and he basically tells him, we want you, and with the help of Tony Stark as well, to sign the Sokovia Accords. And that's basically going to have the entire Avengers be regulated by this some weird UN thing, like people
regulated by Trump.
I don't know what, like, they keep saying, like, oh, the government's going to get involved. Like, the UN's not the government. Like, the
UN in this movie has more power than the UN in real life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're really like banking on like all these countries have come together to stop. It's like, dude, it's the UN. We don't really care. Yeah, like, that should have been his actual response, but.
Yeah, so the very first, so they're going to go into the signing. They say it's in a couple days, and this is where we get introduced to Black Panther, not in Black Panther Guard, but the Black Panther. What's his real name?
T'Challa.
This character is just.
All right,
I love this accent.
Let's talk about the character. Yep.
Oh my God! Can I go first?
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, go ahead.
This character. I don't know a lot about Black Panther, but what we got in this movie was incredible. The setup with his dead father, him as Black Panther with the claws, his fighting style was incredible, and just he's this total badass. But once you take off the mask, he's like really quiet and reserved and smart. I'm like, this is well written. Well acted, very well done. I feel like they really could have fucked up Black Panther, and they didn't. They did him like better than I could have even imagined. This was really him, Ant-Man, and Spider-Man stole the show, in my opinion. It's like I wasn't expecting those three to be as good as they were in this movie, but Black Panther especially was a big like, damn, that was done well.
If readed honor, you know what I mean? Like his whole motif, his whole like persona was he's a very honorable guy. And
even
like,
when
you know,
he was arrested, even when he was arrested, he's like, you know what? I'm still the king. So everyone
he felt like a fucking king.
Like you felt
look at that guy. You're like, that guy's the king. I want someone to like do a gif of him taking his mask off. And it's the Burger King because he's a fucking king. I'm sorry, Joe, were you going to say something before I interrupted you?
No, but I'll go. I can go. About Black Panther. I thought he was one of my favorite things in the entire movie.
Oh yeah.
I was worried that, you know, they were going to there were a few characters that I was worried they were going to shoehorn in, and he was one of them, but no, he had a purpose. He had a reason for things. His motivation was great.
Spot on.
And I don't want to draw the comparison to Batman Superman, but I want to. But I don't want to.
I don't want to, but I want to.
Batman's reason for killing somebody is they may destroy us and I have to kill them because there's that chance that they may. Here, there's a reason why he wants to go after the people he's after. There's a clear motivation for it. He's already suspicious, and he's not a hero when you meet him. He's a warrior. He's a warrior king. And that's really what it is. The Black Panther is a warrior symbol in my culture. Is what he says. And that really shows he's about honor, but you know, he's not, oh, I'm going to save the day because it's the right thing to do to regulate these heroes. Eat your kid vegetables, kids. No, it's I am a warrior. This is what a warrior does. They avenge what they need to avenge.
If I can add real quick, I felt like the actor that played, what's his name? Chadwick
Boseman.
Boseman. Evan, would he not make a decent James Bond?
He would be a perfect James Bond.
He's not British, though.
He's not British.
He did the accent.
He did a cool accent.
If
this
you're
going
to do a British black guy, just get Idris Elba.
Yeah. I mean, it's at that point. Yeah. But I mean, man, this accent's great.
Chris, you've been awfully quiet. Would you like to comment on Black Panther?
No.
Really? You want to comment on anything else?
Well, I like to comment on Spider-Man, actually.
You'd like the what on Spider-Man?
Oh my God.
He's under it. Actually, no, I think he's 19. So it's Chris. Nice.
We'll get the Spider-Man when he appears in the IMDb list. Then you can do whatever you want to him.
All right, good.
Sean, you can keep going.
She broke Sean.
Okay, I'm back. Okay, so where do we go?
The UN blows up.
His Black Panther's dad dies. There's a report out that I think it was some sort of picture or something that shows that the Winter Soldier was in the area, so they think that he did it. So that now the hit's out on him, and Captain America goes to find him before anyone else does.
And this is where I start to kind of sympathize less with Captain America, because it's like, dude, yeah, I get he's your old war buddy, but at the same time, oh my God, he should probably be stopped, right? Like, and of course he's right in the end, but it seems at that point that he's crazy. Like, why would you go try to reason with him? He just blew
up. Yeah, but this is also the guy that in Winter Soldier was framed as a traitor and hunted down by Hydra. So, like, you can't really trust the government that they're having information.
No, you're right. You're right.
Also, legally innocent until proven guilty. I mean, I know there's that quote unquote, there's the photo there, but you still have to find him. You still have to interrogate him.
Once you find out
that he kind of has like this brainwash thing going on with him, then you have to go, oh shit, it's not really him, it's whoever's controlling
him. And they didn't want him brought in, they wanted him dead, so you can't question him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the action scene, though, that ensues here was awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
so
I mean,
everything from that, the motorcycle flip to the Black Panther reveal, everything that happens here is like, could have been the climax action scene of any other movie.
He runs fucking fast too, Black Panther.
Oh yeah,
all of them do. They were all running out there.
Well, I mean, they're all superhumans except for Black Panther, who's just a fucking badass. So
he's got like the strongest armor in the Marvel universe.
It's all
vibranium.
All vibranium. The whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna say, is the speed of Black Panther, is that him or is that the suit?
It's a little bit of both.
I think it's just he's awesome. Really fucking cool.
What's next, Sean?
So as you mentioned, they're all escaping on foot. Eventually, they all get arrested, and they bring everyone in. The Bucky or Captain or Winter Soldier, whatever you want to call him, he's in this weird containment thing, kind of like similar, like a smaller version of what the Hulk was in the Avengers.
Yeah.
And they have the psychiatrist or whatever he was.
Yeah, psychiatrist.
Supposed to be.
Well, he was supposed to be the psychiatrist.
He was supposed to be. Turned out it was Zemo, who we actually got introduced earlier in the movie too.
Can I make a point about Zemo?
Yes.
Who's rustling around a bag here?
Oh my God, Lex Luthor's here with his Jolly Ranchers.
Someone put Lex's Ranchers away.
So with Zemo, it's funny, Lex leads me into this, kind of. I was worried with Zemo at first, like, oh, here's another villain who's going to manipulate the heroes to fight each other because he wants power and he wants control and yada, yada, yada. But as the movie progressed, that wasn't the case, and he really developed. I thought he was Hydra for most of the movie. Like, that's what I thought.
Too.
He was Hydra.
I did, and, too.
But even though he killed a Hydra person,
I thought he was like a former Hydra agent who's now on his own agenda kind of thing, and he doesn't care. I wasn't quite sure what was going on.
Oh, he was really just some guy.
I thought he was going to be another villain who's just manipulating the hero so he can get what he wants and to get power. And like he says in that scene, I just want to watch an empire burn. I'm like, oh great, hail Hydra, everybody! But no, that wasn't the case, and we'll get into that later. But I really like Zemo as the movie progressed. And and at first I was like, does the movie really need a villain? And then by the end of it, I'm like, yes, they needed him.
Yeah. No, you can't take him out of this movie and say it's the same movie. Because I know DC fans are going to try to say that, but it's not true.
Now, what if one of the code words for Winter Soldier was Jolly Rancher? That would have just been too weird.
The next code word's Cherry.
One of them was Homecoming. I thought
I'm going to stop you right there because that has nothing to do with Spider-Man. I read in an interview that the one of the I knew that was coming up, so I'm prepared, fucker. One of the journalists from IGN asked the Russo brothers, "Is Homecoming trigger word have anything to do with Spider-Man?" And they're like, no, that is pure coincidence. Because when they were writing this, When they were typing,
they didn't have Spider-Man yet when they started writing this movie.
Yeah,
they were shooting this movie before they had Spider-Man.
Yeah,
yeah, they did.
They were joking around how each of the other trigger words is going to be a different Marvel movie subtitle. So you're going to get Iron Man Freight Car next.
Oh, God.
What's next, Sean?
All right, so as we mentioned, Zemo is interrogating the Winter Soldier, and all the power goes out, so no one can see or hear anything. And also, he's alone with the Winter Soldier.
That was a clever scene too, how he had that like the energy bomb go off and shut down all the power. It was just very comic book, very cool.
And he takes out this red book, which has the code in there to make the Winter Soldier do whatever you want him to do. And we don't hear what he tells him to do, but then eventually the Winter Soldier escapes, and then it's them trying to catch him. Iron Man goes after him. That's the scene in the trailer where he puts the thing on his hand and stops the gun. Black Panther goes after him without a suit. Who else goes after him? I can't even remember.
Black Widow and Black Sharon Widow. Carter.
Yeah. I like Tony Stark fighting him without the Iron Man suit. Was pretty intense.
I understand why people were like, that scene's very quick, and I can't like say they're wrong because it was pretty quick. But I like the idea of that fight scene where all these people are going up against the Winter Soldier one at a time, two at a time, and he's just taking them all out. Like he's taking a beast.
The Winter Soldier is intimidating. I mean, he is scary. He's there's something about that idea that he's got the arm and he's unstoppable. And it's interesting to see later how much it really is tearing Bucky apart. I think that's interesting to know.
Yeah.
I also want to say Sebastian Stan got in shape for that role. He was jacked.
Oh, you should see him in the last movie too.
Well,
he looked bigger.
He looks like a young Mark Hamill.
I thought that they had recast between First Avenger and Winter Soldier, and I didn't realize that was the same guy. Because Bucky in First Avenger, you're like, he's just like some dude, and you're like, oh, okay. And then in Winter Soldier, he's this jacked, long-haired, scruffy look. You're like, damn, who the hell is that? Oh, it's Bucky.
Bucky with the good hair. Damn.
Bucky with the good
hair. Well, I was worried once he was casted like in Captain America First Avenger, like, okay, he was good and all, but is he going to be able to do Winter Soldier well?
Yes.
And he did. Like, he surprised me.
Oh, yeah.
Winter Soldier came around and then this movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
What's next, Sean?
So, at this point, we have the both sides getting all their people in. We have, obviously, we haven't mentioned Vision yet, who is in a sweater most of the movie.
That was awesome.
That was really so funny. Cool. When he comes into the Scarlet Witch's room, he's like, I told you about this. You have to knock. He's like, oh, but the door was like, I just thought that was really cool.
He was so British looking.
The scene where he was cooking, like,
you're
like
paprika.
It's like, well, I've never really tasted anything, but I assume, like, that's really funny. Like, that was really clever. The way that
he provided some much needed comic relief at times.
Yeah. There was a lot of comic relief in this movie, actually.
What are his powers, though? You know what I mean? Like, everyone has, like, a defined set of skills. He just kind of fucks shit up.
He's Martian Manhunter, but the Marvel
yes,
version.
Yes, exactly. He is the Martian Manhunter, except he can't transform. He could just cook. Yeah. But, he could just all right, anyway.
But apparently not.
Yeah,
it's nothing like what she was.
Yeah, he didn't even know what paprika was. Yeah.
Well, you've never had a souffle made by the Martian Manhunter.
Also, if you don't mind me mentioning, part of the reason why Cap is round. Oh, thanks, Jason. Part of the reason why Cap's rounding up his crew is not to like fight Tony Stark, but because they find out that there's other Winter Soldiers.
Oh, yes, that's a whole subplot. That's the whole thing. He's like, look, Tony and the UN and the Avengers, they're not going to listen to us. But we know this is real. We need to stop these other Winter Soldiers.
And so that's like, why he's rounding his team.
And that's why they ended up meeting in the airport, too.
Yeah.
I was really hoping they'd name the other Winter Soldiers after different seasons. Like, there's the Fall Soldier and the Summer Soldier, Autumn Soldier.
And then you got Pierce Brosnan.
You're going to have five. You have that, at that point, you have five soldiers, though.
Well, you make one up. Someone's anyway, what's next?
The fifth one is Pierce Brosnan is the November man.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so as was mentioned, that's what they're trying to do. They want to get, apparently this whole time Scarlet Witch has been under house arrest by Tony Stark.
But she didn't know it.
So,
well,
Hawkeye,
that's actually a very interesting point, if you don't mind me saying, Sean, ahead. That they take some inspiration from the comics. I know she's not technically a mutant, but it seems like a lot of people are afraid of her.
Oh, yeah. Even Vengeance
she's
afraid
of herself.
Even when she was locked up, she was the only one wearing a straitjacket.
So Hawkeye, of all people, who is apparently retired, supposedly in this movie.
Yeah, and then the Hulk and Thor are just elsewhere. They're like, yeah.
Well, Thor's probably home in Asgard.
Yeah, Thor left because he needs to look into the Infinity Stones more.
Yeah.
Hulk's MIA. Yeah, and they hinted at Clint's retirement in Ultron. So, I'm fine with that.
They did, because the fact that he wasn't with the new team.
Well, no, he actually retired here. Didn't they say, like, oh, he's not going to sign, he just retired? Like, didn't they just kind of throw that away?
Whatever.
In Age of Ultron, the fact that he wasn't a part of the team meant that he retired.
Okay.
Went to go marry Velma from Scooby-Doo. Or he was married to Velma.
By the way, I don't know if you guys like Jeremy Renner, but I just really enjoy him in that role. I just think he's perfect for it.
Well, he's a good actor in the first place.
He is a very good actor, and he kind of...
You know what I think it is? He doesn't take his character too seriously.
No, he struts in and he's like, "Hey, I'm back. Like, hey, what's
up?" He knows that his character is probably like the only person that his character can beat is probably Black Widow. And outside of that, I mean, I can't see him beating Panther. I can't see him beating War Machine. Not even Falcon. So he understands that his character is not.
He has that line.
If you remember
Ultron.
When the Avengers came out, who else thought, like, oh, the team was perfect except for those last two?
Yeah.
The gun girl and the guy with the bow and arrow were, like, the least impressive, and I think he's taken the character
a long way
from
that. She was originally supposed to be the Wasp. I remember Joss Whedon wrote Scarlett Johansson as the Wasp, and then they changed it for whatever reason.
I just wanted to point this out because I've never said it on the podcast before. I don't think I've ever said it to any of you. I just really like Jeremy Renner in that role. I think he just owns it. And he comes in, like, right off the bat, the way he just struts into the scene, he's like, I'm back. Hey, what's up, everyone? That's me. Jeremy Renner is Hawkeye. Boom, arrow here. Boom, arrow there. Fuck it up. I'm out. And, like,
he had the line about golfing where he was like, yeah, I played 18 holes, shot 18.
I couldn't miss.
That's pretty
funny.
It
got boring. I was like, oh, this is actually
really
fun.
Jeremy Renner, Men in Black 3 confirmed.
He knows he's like outgunned and everything and outpowered than everybody else because he's just some dude with arrows. He even mentions that in Age of Ultron when he's in the house with Scarlet Witch. He's like, there's robots everywhere. There's people with powers and I'm shooting bow and arrows.
But I like how self-aware, like
I know,
him exactly. And then the whole movie really and the whole team, they're aware. They know they're kind of ridiculous. They know, like seeing Vision come in with the little polo on and everything. Like, it's funny and it's real. Like you get a sense of these characters and that's why I like, you know, just that scene where he comes in, it just really felt genuine and authentic to me.
Marvel's done a very good job of allowing him to make his own character like kind of put his own imprint on a character.
Probably ad-libs it, but what's next, Sean?
Well, so the whole point of it is that he's there to get Scarlet Witch out, and he has to obviously go up against Vision, which is not easy, and actually he doesn't succeed until Scarlet Witch basically throws him down the Earth's core.
Oh, yeah. She throws him to China.
Yeah. That was kind of ridiculous, actually.
A little bit.
She's like, uh-oh, that's not good. Tony's going to be mad. And I'm like,
Yeah, so they're assembling all their people. And at this point, we can finally talk about them. That's when Tony Stark goes to see Spider-Man.
Well, there's something before that. Cap gets Ant-Man.
Oh,
are you sure that's before?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
No. But. Either way, Ant-Man was really fucking great in this movie because it's Paul Rudd. And again, like Jeremy Renner, I love Paul Rudd as Ant-Man.
I understand. But what's his motivation for being there?
He's already on the run.
Why
the fuck not?
Well, no, he's not on the run anymore. He was. But
Celery Man's a big Captain America fan.
Ant-Man, his reasoning is he's learned how to be a hero since then, and this is he's doing the right thing here. He feels that he's doing the right thing to do. Plus, it's another hero. Plus, he's not being recruited because he needs to fight other heroes. He's trying to save the world from other super soldiers.
Well, don't you think he's also kind of starstruck? Like, if Captain America says, can you help me with this? He's going to say yes.
Yeah, and he's shaking his hand. He's like, I'm still shaking your hand. I'm shaking it for too long. Like, it was so funny, and it fits so well into the movie that I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Ant-Man can be in this. Like, it's just
great. Did you see Ant-Man, Evan?
No, I still have not seen Ant-Man. Excellent. That was actually
it's pretty funny.
That was actually my first introduction to Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, and I'm like, "Fuck, this is great!"
Dude,
I'm like,
and I'm watch it. It's such a good movie.
That's actually one of the few Marvel Cinematic Universe movies I haven't seen. I didn't see Thor 2. This. I didn't see Iron Man 3 yet. And
you don't have to see Iron Man 3.
And I didn't see Ant-Man. Those are the only three I haven't seen.
With the exception of Don Cheadle and maybe Elizabeth Olsen, they really have allowed. Hold on. Well, I'm making my point. They really have allowed a lot of these the actors that play these characters to kind of become their own role. Don Cheadle, he's not War Machine. I don't see him as War Machine.
Do you mean Don Cheadle?
No, it means Don Cheadle.
Oh.
Well, I don't care what his name is.
We'll talk about John Cheadle when.
Oh, you mean old man Cheadle?
Yeah, he's actually not even that old, and he don't look good.
No, he doesn't.
I have a lot to say as to why they didn't do what they did, but anyway.
Getting back to Spider-Man though. Did anybody get goosebumps and start breathing heavy when they?
Oh, yeah.
Queen? Yeah, well, I got a boner when I saw Aunt May.
We should do this one at a time.
Yeah, Chris, you wanted to comment on Spider-Man. You can go first.
Yeah. Well. This is might come as a surprise to some of you, but I, from the moment I was a little kid up until like a week ago,
where's this going?
I've always really wanted to be Spider-Man. I read the comics as a kid. I watched the cartoon show in the 90s when it came out. And, you know, I always identified with the movie characters. And yes, Spider-Man, this iteration is basically perfect. It's written well. The action's pretty good. But for me, as like someone who's out of college now, and you know, to see like a 19-year-old play Spider-Man, it's kind of weird.
Well, he's like, actually 15, but just wait 10 years.
I mean, the actor's 19, the character's 15. It's hard to identify as that character now.
It's almost like you've outgrown it now.
Yeah, a little bit's been lost on me, but I can say based on my knowledge of the character, it's pretty spot on.
Yeah, Joe, what did you think of him?
Tobey Maguire is always going to be my nostalgic Spider-Man, but this is the perfect Spider-Man. Like, the fact that he's a kid. I later on, there's a lot of stories of Peter Parker as an adult, and I think over time we're going to come to see those stories. Hell, we've had two franchises dealing with Peter Parker's, like, kind of young adult life. You know, we're really seeing him in high school. We're seeing him as a wide-eyed kid. We're seeing him excited, and he's really cracking jokes. Every single moment,
even
he was
Falcon
on screen.
Falcon
was
like, "Hey, you're not supposed to talk."
Yeah, you realize fights don't have this many jokes. He fit so well, and I hear the people who saying that he was shoehorned in. I hear that, but you know what? Be happy we have him. It's another body for this fight. It's expanding the universe. Tony Stark. They had great chemistry. Those two, Tony Stark and Peter Parker, had such great chemistry. Yeah, it was so cool, and you can imagine Tony Stark sees this kid, you know, he makes these web shooters, he's doing these things. He probably sees a lot of himself in this kid, so that's why he recruits him. But it was so much fun seeing him, the times he was swinging around, so much fun. I was really excited every time he was on screen.
Yeah. Plus, Betty, do you know what had to happen internationally for this shit to happen?
Yeah, we almost went to war with North Korea.
North Korea, with the Sony leaks. All of this had to happen. You're not going to not use it after that.
Thanks, yeah. North Korea. Benny, what did you think of Spider-Man?
I didn't feel like he was shoehorned in. I thought like the use of like the online videos was kind of like, oh, that's how he found him. So it's kind of like a discovering of another. So another not Avenger, but like another mutant that they can bring onto the team.
Yeah, Aquaman was shoehorned in.
I will say this. I Aquaman was shoehorned in. I felt like again, I don't have a connection to Tobey Maguire because I despise Tobey Maguire as a person. I don't like Andrew Garfield either because he wasn't Spider-Man and he. I have a lot of negative things to say about Garfield and Maguire, but I felt like Tom Holland did enough for me to allow me to go, all right, I want to see more of this. I'll let him grow on me. I'll give him the chance to grow on me. I want to see where this goes. I'm very eager to see Homecoming. I felt like this was a very good Spider-Man. It was the perfect comic book Spider-Man, and I felt like he's going to do very well. Aunt May is hot.
Oh, yeah. Aunt Bay. Evan, what'd you think?
First off, biggest reservation of the movie, Aunt May was too hot. It just was weird. It seemed out of place.
Well, hold on. But if that's my biggest complaint with this movie, it's the new 30.
Yeah, look, if my biggest complaint with this movie is Aunt May was too hot, it's really not
a complaint.
That's not a complaint. Personally, I'm tired of seeing new Spider-Mans, but I think that it was 2012 was Amazing Spider-Man. That was a huge misstep. And I think that this would have been even more fresh and fun had we not had those. I do definitely think Spider-Man was shoehorned in, but who cares? Who cares? When he comes in, he's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And the way that they updated his quote unquote nerd persona to fit 2016 was spot on. I mean, he's a computer retro junkie. Like he picks through the trash to find like old Apple computers and shit. I'm like, that fits the nerd stereotype or whatever of the day. Like he wasn't some skateboarding emo.
We're introduced to him holding a used DVD player.
Yeah,
he's so excited that he found it.
It worked. And I love the fact that he's been doing it for 6 months and he's like, I don't understand these powers. He's got this shitty costume that Tony Stark can just like find. He's like, oh, it's up here. Like I love the relationship with Tony Stark. And then when he finally puts on the Spidey suit, I mean, that's goddamn Spider-Man. That's the best Spider-Man.
But you know what? That raises a question. So if Spider-Man's been Spider-Man for 6 months, that means Uncle Ben died 6 months ago. And Aunt May's already trying to have sex with Tony Stark, which is kind of messed up.
I mean, she's a gold digger.
No, but hold on. Wait. Listen. If the richest man in the goddamn world walked into your house and you're like a single woman, you're going to be like, oh my God, this is the richest man in the world.
He died 6 months ago. Evan, have a heart.
That's a great point.
What'd you think of
people grieve in different ways, Chris.
just to wrap up what I was saying, it was like Spider-Man peeled off the comic book pages. I don't know again how I feel about a solo movie. I'm kind of like I'm more invested in this expansive universe than I am about like one single character at this point. Like it's very far into this expanded universe to have Spider-Man. It's like can we just kind of throw him into like every other movie from here? But I love the portrayal, so I'm game. I mean, this was great. It was so much fun to have him in this movie. It really worked.
Isn't Iron Man supposed to be in Homecoming?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're not just going to let him be on his own. It's like eventually they're going. Yeah. I feel like this is like a easing.
Well, they're
going to
bring him into Infinity War is the big thing.
Yeah, they're going to Peter Parker is going to walk into his house one day and Iron Man is going to be having sex with Aunt May. Sean, what do you think of
inexplicably hot?
Giving her the Iron Dick, Sean.
Before I give my thoughts on Spider-Man, Evan, I want you to say it.
Oh, he's a better Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire by far. There's no question, and it's not even like a big like. Oh, it's so obviously Tom Holland is the best Peter Parker and the best Spider-Man. I just think that Andrew Garfield is so bad as Peter Parker that he's like he's not even redeemable.
All right, you've been on record. I
can't even make an argument against him. He was perfect, Garfield. And I had my reservations. I didn't know if he was going to really do.
Yeah,
great.
Andrew Garfield was your favorite Spider-Man, right?
No, fuck you.
But no, yeah, I agree. I think he was great. Obviously, unlike Evan, I am interested to see an entire movie with him. But I thought it was just fun. You know, above everything else, it was just fun. You know.
Yeah, that's.
And I liked his accent. You know, and even they even make mention. With him and Captain America in the fight, he's like, oh, Bronx, Brooklyn, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I thought it was great.
Queens.
What did I say? Bronx? Oh.
Whatever. Yeah,
I thought it was funny?
He was from Queens. It was
when Spider-Man's fighting Ant-Man, I'm like, wow, this is exactly what a Sentinel fight would look like with Spider-Man in it.
Yeah.
And it just made me want to have the X-Men in the universe.
I just ran into Spider-Man.
Huge Jackman. Running at the Spider-Man roundtable. Yeah, I loved Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Everything you guys were saying, he's perfect. Can't wait to see him again as Spider-Man. A few things. I would absolutely love it if they have to show a flashback of Uncle Ben dying.
They don't.
Cast,
please, God, they don't. They don't.
Cast Tobey Maguire as Uncle Ben. Just have it come full circle. That's all
I would actually be down for that.
That's awesome. That's please, awesome, Jason. Why don't you write for Marvel?
Or have that be Stan Lee's cameo. But
poor Sam Raimi's Uncle Ben.
Oh my God.
That means Stan Lee was hitting Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, he was.
Yes.
I will say, I was hoping for this scene. It never happens. I was hoping for a post-credit scene. Like it was Tom Holland running through like the Daily Bugle office. And he's like, oh, Mr. Jameson, where are you? I'm really sorry. I late for school because like his flight was late or something coming back from Germany. And then it's J.K. Simmons at the table. He's like, Parker, where have you been?
No one else can play that role. I would be very disappointed if anyone else even fucking tried.
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba to play J.K. Simmons?
He's Heimdall, though.
Yeah. In Whiplash.
Oh. Yeah.
Before we get back to you, Sean, I just want to comment that if Tobey Maguire, I'm not Tobey Maguire, I can't stop saying that. If if Tony Stark has footage of Spider-Man, you know, swinging around the city, that's how he knew who he was and stuff. He probably has footage of the other like Netflix guys. Like he probably knows who Daredevil is, probably knows who Luke Cage and Jessica Jones is.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be pretty cool if they were name dropped too. Like because he said before he went to Queens, he said to Scarlet Witch, oh, I'm going to go to this guy I know of. And then if Scarlet Witch was like, who do you mean? The guy in the red, the guy with the skull on his face or a skull on the chest or the girl who can lift cars. That would have been really cool if they dropped Netflix people.
Now that you mention it, it is kind of weird that he picked Spider-Man and not Daredevil.
I can explain
Daredevil
why
would have said no.
Me too.
Well, hold on. He picked Spider-Man because, dude, they just got Spider-Man and they wanted to use him. It's so obvious that he could have picked anyone else, but it was like the studio's like, dude, we're putting in Spider-Man.
Well, no, that's realistically speaking, but in the movie universe, no offense to Spider-Man's age, but he's also easy to manipulate.
Here's my opinion. If you look at Tony Stark's character from there, he sees a kid who's swinging around with some weird device around his wrist. He's looking into it. He probably sees a lot of himself in this kid. And he sees like a young tech genius. He's a tech guy. It makes sense. He's going after the other tech guy. He just donated a grant for a bunch of kids for their own projects at school.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of guy he is. He's all about innovation and technology and changing the future. So he sees a young kid swinging around with something he made. That draws him into it.
Well, he even says about the webbing. He's like, "This, I like this. This is impressive. Like the webbing." And then he gets his hand stuck to the doorknob. And he's like, Could you get this off? Like, I thought that was good.
Yeah. Daredevil and Jessica Jones would have definitely said no to him. Anyway, what's going next, Sean?
All right, well, let's just move to the airport fight scene between the two sides.
That's the best part of the whole.
Fucking awesome.
Best part of the whole damn movie.
Yeah.
The best part of, well, like, pretty much all the Marvel movies.
It's my favorite part. It's my favorite part of any of the Marvel Expanded Universe movies. It was so much fun to watch these characters not only just fight, but fight in their own unique ways. Like when Ant-Man crawled inside of Iron Man's suit, I was laughing out loud. I'm like, and it was most of that fight scene was actually funny because they're playing off. They know each other. They know each other's strengths and weaknesses, yet they still can't best each other. And I thought it was very well.
Yeah, like who was it?
Yeah, now Tane I can get behind.
Who was it that was calling out Hawkeye for pulling his punches against Scarlet? Black Widow.
Scarlet Witch. Scarlet Witch was like you were pulling your punches. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And I think it was Black Widow and Hawkeye.
Into a wall.
Was it Black Widow and Hawkeye who were like, we're still friends, right? Like we're still cool. Yeah.
I liked was they were all fighting, but they were just not sparring, but they were fighting to just like stop each other, not hurt each other, unlike Batman Superman, which they wanted to just fucking kill each other.
Hold on.
Well, that comes later.
Yeah.
Well, Panther I would say that each character has a different motivation because, Benny's trying to say, and I interrupted him. Sorry, Benny.
Panther but, like, and was, Soldier were, yeah, they weren't not fighting to hug it out later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's go down to see what we all think of the airport fight. Evan, you just said your piece. I said my piece. I loved it. I wish, I liked when Spider-Man was crawling on Giant Man's eye. That was awesome. Black Panther's triple kick was fucking outstanding.
Was that real? Was that real? Is that
probably
stunt real?
Spider-Man. Spider-Man mentioning Empire Strikes Back, and everyone else is like, "How the fuck old is this kid?"
like everyone rolls their eyes. They're like, "Ugh! Like, did he really just say that? That was funny."
It was just like I felt like a kid on Saturday morning cartoons. You know what I mean? I can't believe we live in a day and age where we can watch something like that on the big screen. But Sean, what did you think of the airport fight?
I thought it was good. Like I mentioned, this was the one fight scene that I felt wasn't shot in that weird weird way and edited together. All that
the Scarlett Johansson pregnancy cam.
Yeah, I feel like this was the one that was just not touched, and I really liked it. I mean, I thought the highlight obviously was Giant Man, but I also, one thing I really did like was the fact that, you know, Black Widow, she basically turned sides. You know, at the end of the fight, like. You think that she's still with Iron Man, and then she helps out Captain America get to the plane, you know?
Well, the fight really ended when shit got real. When War Machine fell, it was like, uh-oh. Like, we have a problem.
Yeah, that was Vision, too.
Yeah, that was why it was fucked up. And I thought he was dead. I thought they were going
to kill him. When you're playing with your friends and, like, you know, wrestling with your friends, and he actually, like, knees you in the face, and you're like, ow!
Like, even if you were fighting about something that was like, hey, I'm actually pissed at you, but you're, like, fighting, and then all of a sudden he, like, punches you too hard, and you're like, whoa, hey, dude, I'm not,
and then,
like,
you're paralyzed for the rest of your life?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but think about it. So Vision was shooting his thing at, it was supposed to...
You're going to have to rephrase that, Sean.
Okay. Vision was
Spider-Man, Chris.
Yeah, you're one to talk. Vision was aiming for Falcon, and Falcon has much less armor on him than War Machine does.
But I think all it would have done, so he would have killed Falcon him out of the sky.
But he would have killed Falcon.
I think he would have just knocked out of the sky.
No, the thing is, Falcon has his youth. Don Cheadle is old, so that's why that fall hurt him.
I see what Sean's saying, because if you knock out Falcon's one mechanism for flight, he doesn't have anything else.
What I'm saying is
War Machine and Iron Man's not turning around.
No, what I'm saying is the beam that's going at him would have incinerated Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to, you know, War Machine, who has all this armor on him. It hits him, it disables him, but he falls to the ground.
I just don't think Vision really knows what he's doing, because, I mean, he went down, he stopped the bus from hitting Scarlet Witch. He, like, cut it in half with his elbow. He probably didn't even know he can do that. He was like, oh, fuck. That was pretty cool. Joe, what'd you think of the airport fight scene?
I thought it was so cool, like, seeing them all fight. I mean, I understand that in the comics it's a war, there's a lot of battles, but
yeah, they're like in the middle of Central Park, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty bad in the comics, but here it's cool. It's in an isolated area. They evacuated the airport. People aren't getting in the crossfire and dying, so you don't have to worry about that, Zack Snyder.
You had to say it.
It was really cool seeing all of them work off of each other, different people fight different people, all the powers going together. Ant-Man turns into Giant Man. It was really cool. All of it working off of each other. Everyone was cool. Everyone had their standout moments in that fight. And so much was at stake at that point, like their relationships, the, you know, the fate of the superhuman community. It all built up to this moment. And boy, did it not disappoint.
Well said. Chris, what did you think of the airport fight?
I mean, even predating the airport fight, you missed the fight between Winter Soldier, Falcon, and Spider-Man, which was fantastic.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah, it was like the precursor to the big fight.
When they were in the runway, there's nobody. Not the runway, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, the terminal. Yeah.
Spider-Man foreplay. So, acknowledge Spider-Man's strength. Like, that's what I really like what they did, is they acknowledged everyone's powers. Like, they kind of overlook Spider-Man's strength in the other movies.
Oh, yeah, and he grabs the Winter Soldier's arm. He goes, ooh, you got a metal arm. That's cool. Well, like,
I mean, they all look fucking surprised.
In Winter Soldier and in Civil War, when Captain America fights that metal arm, he has a really hard time keeping it at bay. And Spider-Man did it effortlessly.
Yeah.
Like, that's what was made that cool.
See, that's my question, though. Are spiders stronger than they look? Because Spider-Man, he's able to climb up a wall like a spider, shoot webs like a spider, have sixth sense like a spider, but he's also fucking strong as shit. So you know how ants can lift twice their body weight? Can spiders do that as well? I have no idea.
Well, Jason, you have to look back to the quote by famous movie producer John Peters, the producer of the failed Superman Lives movie, that spiders are the most vicious killers in the insect kingdom.
They're not, whatever.
Is someone spray painting something?
No, it's Sean.
Who is doing? Sean is bumping lines.
I'm blowing my nose. I'm sick over here, okay?
All right. Benny, what did you think of the airport fight?
I really, again, it made me feel like a little kid watching it. I will say though, I thought it was kind of funny. The whole issue with the Accords was that everywhere they went when they would fight, there would be collateral damage. Yet they don't really, you know, no one's injured here. You would think that of all the fights, they would, you know, there would be a substantial amount of collateral damage in this fight. I will say though, did War Machine need to be crippled, or could we have just killed him off?
I would have rather.
That's what a lot of people were thinking too. Yeah, I wouldn't have minded if he died.
If you're going
back.
If you're going
to cut America, it would have raised the stakes. It would have raised
the
stakes.
Wait, Benny, what were you saying?
I was going to say, if you're going to turn this to become a more serious, because like at that point during the fight, it was kind of fun, and then you see Captain America escaping, and you started to see a little bit of a darker turn in the movie, and then, of course, it goes full effect when War Machine's injured or knocked out of commission. Why not just kill him?
Well, I actually have an answer for that, but Evan, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, and I don't mean to be like, kill people, but like had they would have killed War Machine, I think it would have raised the stakes significantly. Mm-hmm. And I think by that, but I don't think that was the real emotional moment of the film. When that scene happened, like I thought, okay, the movie's over. Like I didn't realize we still had the real crux of the movie left. So for him to live kind of makes sense, I guess. I kind of just talked myself out of my own opinion. I don't know if any of you caught that. But for him to live makes sense because, I mean, that wasn't the biggest thing that
happened. Yeah, you don't want to take focus off the whole issue with Zemo.
What's to come? Yeah, what's
the
to
real
come?
Reason?
If he would have died there, that would have been it. That's the big emotional moment of the movie. But we had a lot more to go. So.
Well, but like, now he's going to have amnesia, and he's going to help Spider-Man beat Sandman and Venom.
I have a thing that I'd like to point out, a comparison to the comics. Okay. In the comics, like the midway point of Civil War, there's this big fight, and then Thor shows up out of nowhere. But it's not really Thor. It's
Thor.
Yeah, it was a robot created by Hank Pym, Tony Stark, and Reed Richards. And he kills a hero, Goliath. And that was the point in the war where people started to change sides. People started to question if the side they were on was right because someone in their community, someone they were all friends with, died. And I think that, you know, that was one of the things, like, if they did kill War Machine, it would have been that motivation for Tony Stark, like, mm-hmm. like to go after
It would
after
have been too
that.
Real. It would have been too big.
But, you know, Tony, a little later on in the movie, like, finds out that Cap was kind of right. So if they did that, it wouldn't – if they killed Rhodey and then Tony sees that Cap's right with the whole, you know, Zemo thing and it wasn't Bucky, then there would have been nothing to go off of. He died for nothing, really, because now Tony's working with Cap now.
Yeah.
Had War Machine died, the movie would not have the same ending.
Well, no, the reason
it would have a darker ending.
Yeah. The reason they didn't kill him off is I read this in an interview. One of the Russo brothers said that they didn't want to bring anyone together. They said a big death like that would have brought everyone together, and that's not what they wanted. So that, on paper, is why they didn't kill War Machine off.
But you guys
are right in your opinions as well.
So we're all friends. My question now becomes, okay, so what do you give War Machine to do? Like, I know they're trying to teach him how to walk again.
A desk job.
The sidelines. He'll be on
get a desk job.
Yeah, he's like he'll like mop the floor. He'll like mop the floor.
Are they gonna give him a super metal thing wheelchair thing that can like fight? Like,
no, he's friends with Professor X. He'll get new legs.
No.
Yes, Sean. What's next?
What? Huh?
Sean.
Yeah. You can hear me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just going to skip forward to obviously the people who are remaining from Captain America's side were sent to jail in this weird
Pacific Rim
looking underwater thing. And that's when, as I think it was Chris that mentioned, Tony Stark disobeys General Ross's commands, and he goes to find Captain America and the Winter Soldier, who are in, where are they exactly? Some weird snow
Siberia.
Area, Siberia. And
the
that's
North Pole.
That's apparently where the Winter Soldiers were formed, and they think that Zemo is trying to wake up these Winter Soldiers to use against them to fight.
And oh, then wait, it's a twist.
Yeah, and then they get there, and they're all shot in the head.
That's a good twist, Joe.
Real quick before we continue, can I just want to make a little bit of trivia. The scene in when Tony confronts the Avengers in the prison. Well, first of all, I really like the exchange that he and Hawkeye had. You know, like, I really like that scene. But when Tony Stark walks in, Hawkeye says a line, something like, "Behold the futurist." Like, he's kind of mocking him.
Yeah, I've heard this.
The futurist, and I knew this before, like I heard this before. The Futurist is an album that Robert Downey Jr. made like years ago. He made his own album, and it was called The Futurist. And I heard the songs a while ago. And you know what? He's not half bad. He's actually kind of good. He's got kind of a nice voice. So
what kind of music is it? Is it rap?
It's kind of like jazzy, like lounge kind of music. It's pretty good. I actually would recommend listening to one of his songs.
That's really funny.
It was a reference to that.
A specific song you should listen to. He sings with Sting on Ally McBeal, Female Lawyer. Yeah.
The wrestler? This is another reason why Jeremy Renner's allowed to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, that was probably all improv.
Where were we?
So they get to Siberia with the Winter Soldiers, who they find are actually shot in the head and dead.
Shyamalan.
And, yes, and at the same time, Iron Man shows up, and it's funny how Iron Man refers to Winter Soldier as the Manchurian Candidate. Because
Iron Man's like, dude, I lost it. I was one of the few people in the movie theater who laughed at that, like, loudly. Yeah. I was like, he goes, come on, Manchurian Candidate, put that thing down. I'm like, oh, God, that's so
I
funny.
I saw Iron Man's a really not the only funny meme. So I was on Facebook, and there is this meme, and it was like, when your ex-girlfriend shows up and you're in a public place, and it's got the picture of Captain America with the shield up and Winter Soldier with the gun pointed.
Well, Sean, you're also forgetting there was another person that showed up with Iron Man, but not with Iron Man, kind of like following him.
Yeah, Black Panther's there too. How he got there, we don't know, but he's there.
He followed him.
He stole a Quinjet.
Yeah, he escaped from the thing underground, and he just made it back to Gotham somehow.
Well, I don't think he was. He wasn't arrested. I think he was just in the fight. Then he just probably hopped in his
jet.
They
won't arrest him. They won't arrest him because he's a goddamn king. So yeah. They're like,
he's got diplomatic immunity.
Martin Freeman said so.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Lester Nygaard was in this.
Yeah, it's weird because he was speaking in an American accent, too. You know,
that man.
Oh, yeah. Martin Freeman really took me out of the movie, by the way. I was like, why is the Hobbit here? And I couldn't not think that the whole time.
Dude, we're going to see more of him, too, because his character is like a liaison of Wakanda. Like, he's kind of like a American Wakandan.
Look, I'm just going to say it straight out. His American accent was too good. And it really was like, just I'm like,
dude,
I can't.
Watch Fargo.
You know, it was like, Fargo. Because it's very much to me like, anytime he's one of those kind of actors, I'm like, oh, look, it's Martin Freeman. You know what I mean?
He's a really good actor, though.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, I loved him in Shawshank.
I can't.
You're an ass.
I can't separate the actor from the role. I can't. And to me, and he looked more like the Hobbit to me. I'm like, why is the Hobbit giving orders to Captain America? Uh-huh. Like, it just was weird. I don't know.
Follow your precious.
Well, this is where they find Zemo. He's behind the plate glass window, which is funny because I kind of got like weird Spectre flashbacks here at this point with Blofeld.
Yeah.
But no, I Blowfish. Yeah. And they show on the TV screen the security camera footage from
1993
from 1991. With the car accident that they were showing before, and it's the Starks.
I called that when they showed it in the beginning.
Exactly.
I remember from the first Iron Man, they mentioned that Tony Stark's parents were killed in a car crash, and I remember the Winter Soldier, they implied that it was the Winter Soldier that did it. So as soon as that opening happened, I'm like, they're in that car.
Yeah.
Yeah. My friend who I saw it with too, like right at the beginning, goes, "It's Tony's parents," and he was right. He was like really happy that it was right. But that
yeah,
scene,
they're dead.
That reveal, Dad. I thought was done very well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That really was the emotional moment, the big moment of this movie. And I was like, oh my God. And then when he's pressing Captain America, he's like, did you know? He's like, oh, I didn't know it was your parents. Like, did you know? He's like, yeah, I knew. I was like, oh my God.
It's like, how could you do that, Cap?
It's like, wow. That was
I was sparing your feelings.
Yeah, that's what he said too. He's like, I thought I was sparing.
It was a nice sequence of a twist, and then another twist, and you're like, oh my God.
And you have a really? Christmas present.
Dude, I looked around the movie theater and everyone's jaws are just dropped. It was really a good scene.
I'll be honest, I had no idea Iron Man's parents were gonna be in that car.
Cool.
I had no idea. I literally when I saw him approach the TV, I was like, "Wait, what's going on?" And then I went,
"You know what, Benny?
Oh
maybe if you
my
paid attention
God.
Once in a while, then you know, maybe." I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding.
I can't afford to pay attention.
So this leads us into the big fight scene between, well, I guess handicap match if you want to call it, between the Winter Soldier and Captain America versus Iron Man. And boy,
I thought Black Panther was going to get involved.
No, he knew.
Well, didn't he kind of get involved at one point?
No.
He chokeholded Baron von Strange or whatever the hell his name was.
Zemo.
Whatever.
Byzantite. Yeah, this is the emotional ending of the film. What were you saying, Sean?
No, I was just saying that this is the big fight scene between the two sides. And I think it was very interesting how Tony Stark, you know, a guy who's not known for getting extremely emotional, he's very emotional in this scene. But it's very interesting how he just mentions about how he killed his mom. Like, no, yeah. Doesn't mention his dad at all. Just like, oh, you son of a bitch killed my mom.
Yeah, well, his dad's an asshole.
Yeah, he had a bad relationship with him.
Yeah, he
but
didn't like.
It, then, interestingly enough, when Cap's walking away, he says about a shield. That shield doesn't belong to you. My father made it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, Jason.
I was going to say the one thing that the people on IGN made a good point of, not really a point, just like a good thing that they noticed was at the end when Captain America's over Iron Man with the shield, it looks like it's going to go down on his fucking neck like he's going to kill him. But then he puts it into his chest. He literally breaks Tony's heart because that thing was his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it was a nice little
Iron Man 3
thing.
Took it out.
I know, but
The one scene, and they showed it in the trailer where he goes, he was my friend, and he goes, oh, so was I. They used a different take in the movie, and in the movie it was way more brutal. I was surprised. Yeah. I mean, he goes, he was my friend, and Tony Stark's just like, so was I. Like, just like so matter of fact, so cold, so was I. I'm like, at that point, the rift between the two of them, because it kind of came full circle for a while. Like, okay, they're just going to put aside their differences. Nope.
And can't do that now. Really,
and I think that the way that scene was shot, and there's that one scene that I'm thinking of in particular, where like Captain America and Bucky are standing on either side of Iron Man, and they're fighting him. Like, it was just shot well. It was choreographed well. The special effects were seamless. That scene was really intense.
It's interesting you bring that scene up because there's that one moment where Captain America tosses Bucky the shield, and I thought it was interesting because I'm like, oh, I see what they're doing. Down the road, Bucky becomes Captain America.
Yeah, that may.
I'm so glad they're not doing that. I'm so glad they're not doing that.
I don't think they are doing that.
They're not going to do that.
I don't think Bucky's coming back.
That was the fake spoiler that I read before going into this movie. Some asshole on Reddit was like, oh, Captain America dies. Which I thought he did in the movie going into it. Luckily, he didn't.
He
almost did where, what was it? He's beating the shit out of Iron Man. Iron Man's like, oh my God, my systems are all fucked up. I need you to calculate, do his fighting style real quick. And then he starts countering back and beats the piss out of Captain America. But thankfully, Bucky comes in, makes the save, and everyone's okay.
He wasn't good. I don't think Tony would have killed him, though.
Oh, no.
Actually,
that
Tony.
Came after Bucky's arm was blown off by Iron Man's chest thing.
Yeah.
Because he tries to rip it out, and of course, it's too powerful, and it blows his arm off.
By the way, you mentioned Bucky becoming Captain America. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to see Bucky again until the Infinity War, Part 2.
No. I
don't think we're going to see him for a
while. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him in Black Panther 2.
Maybe
it's a cameo frozen head thing.
Yeah. Or maybe an extra credit scene where like they're working on him, like he's like doing therapy, but he still isn't really responding well or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. He's shoveling snow because he's the Winter Soldier.
I mean, so you have
with Captain one America arm. Civil
War. It's a movie based on the Marvel Civil War, and it's got Crossbones in it. I thought for sure they were going to at least have like some kind of nod to the assassination.
Me too, man.
Nope. Not even not in the least. So the scene ends when, like we mentioned, eventually Captain America gets Iron Man down to the ground and he is beaten on him and he takes the shield, jams it into the thing in his chest, and basically his suit's just dead, so he can't fight anymore.
Yeah, he's done. That was it.
And then we go to outside where Zemo is just sitting there, and then Black Panther comes up to him. He thinks that Black Panther's going to kill him, and he was, and then he realizes what's going on, and he's just like, no, you're going to have real justice. Which
I'm glad about. I'm really glad they didn't kill him, because Marvel has the bad habit of killing villains and not letting them come back.
I thought Zemo was going to kill himself.
He was going to kill
himself. I really thought that was going to happen.
Yeah. He was about to shoot his head off.
And not only that, but that scene reveals Zemo's reasoning, and that he was from Sokovia, and his family died. Mm-hmm. And that moment was when Zemo really worked for me, and that he extended beyond the typical Marvel villain of "I want power and control" and all that. And it was arguably a decent payoff. He was arguably the only villain in the MCU who won.
Yeah, Baron Zemo's like that guy at the PTA conference that's just like, I don't want evolution taught in schools. Then he like ruins the whole meeting.
I don't know what the hell movie they'll bring him back in. I can't think of it, but whenever they do, if they
Power
do,
the Duck.
I hope he is Baron.
Yeah,
what would you say, Chris?
Howard the Duck.
Yeah,
he's got to escape somehow and get the mask.
I think he will. I mean, I think Infinity War is where a lot of this stuff is going to come full circle.
That was a really brutal origin, too. I'm surprised they didn't do that, where he accidentally hot glues the mask to his face for the rest of forever.
What was he, like, doing, like, a school arts project?
Yeah, it was at the PTA meeting, and he got hot glue in his mask, and then...
Honestly, Jobo, you had said that Zemo works for you in that regard, and I think he's a great villain. I really do. But... overall, I think that kind of the reveal of "I'm just a guy" was like, wow, you did a lot for just a guy.
Well, I think that makes him human compared to,
human, but like, how did he get that deep?
Well, I think, you know, well, they, like, how did he?
Well, he bought a wig at the store that looked like it belonged to Winter Soldier.
Exactly.
Well, and then he wore it.
Let Joe talk.
They had mentioned that he was Sokovian Special Forces. So that explains his resources. That explains, you know, his skill set, that he's able to train and he's able to kill and he's able to track people down and torture people. The fact that he has that military background is how he was able to utilize those skill sets. And it was months and months of planning all this. You know, he had that motivation. He had that passion to take them down. So, you know, that's – and he mentions he got all the information about Hydra from when Black Widow leaked the information out at the end of Winter Soldier. So he did his research over time, and he's smart, he's cunning, he's manipulative, and he has that military background. So that's why I think he works.
Okay.
His motivation doesn't work for me, though. Because it's like, again, so Iron Man makes Ultron. Ultron is the one who put Sokovia on a giant comet and then threw it at the Earth. So if the Avengers had done nothing, everyone would have died.
He's not a sane thinking person. Like,
if you have a vendetta, he should be against Iron Man.
I would make the argument that he is a sane thinking person because he has the vendetta out against Ultron, who was created by Tony Stark. So Tony Stark is going after Winter Soldier, but he's going after the puppet, not the puppet master. Well, Zemo is going after the puppet master.
How many people other than who are involved in Age of Ultron know that Tony Stark created Ultron?
Yeah,
probably no one.
Honestly, it might have been released to the public.
Yeah.
How?
I don't. Well, Tony Stark's pretty transparent.
I feel like it works because a lot of times when a situation happens in real life, no one blames the person that causes it. They blame, what led that person to do this horrible thing? What were the situations? You know, the war in the Middle East that's going on right now. Oh, people like, you know, if if this administration or that administration didn't do this, this wouldn't have happened. So I blame the thing that led this to happen. They don't blame the people that are doing it. They blame what led it to happen.
That's a good point.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, but was there not a scene in Ultron where Stark released to the public the Ultron project?
No.
There wasn't?
Well, I think it also works off of what Vision said earlier. Since Iron Man and since all these heroes came about, there have been a growing number.
Things got worse.
Yes. So you can arguably blame all of the heroes that are going on right now for causing villains and people of power to rise up and fight them.
I blame Joss Whedon.
I blame Zack Snyder.
I blame George Lucas.
All right, Sean. Well, I'm sure we're at the end of the movie now.
Yeah, we're at the end of the movie. So we see, obviously, War Machine. He's got his robotic things on his legs to help him try to walk.
Psychic powers.
We get the Stan Lee cameo as the FedEx driver.
You know, I forgot Stan Lee didn't have a cameo until that happened. And it was like, oh, I forgot about the Stan Lee cameo. I think the writers did, too, because they just wrote him at the end. They're like, oh, he could be the FedEx guy. Tony Stank! Cool, it's cute. Whatever, fun.
I know they don't have the rights to Fantastic Four, but how cool would it have been if he reprised his role from the first Fantastic Four as the mailman, Willie Lang?
Baxter Building mailman?
Yeah, like, what if it was him? Like, that would have been so cool.
You remember in Iron Man 2 when he was Hugh Hefner? He should have just reprised that.
No, he was Hugh Hefner in Iron Man 1. He was Larry King in Iron Man 2.
what is in this package is a note from Captain America
And a cell phone.
What's that?
And a cell phone.
Was there a cell phone in there?
Yeah, yes. It was still with naked pictures of Captain America. Dick pics.
It's shown in the American poll.
Yeah. Dear Tony.
I've been thinking about you an awful lot.
LOL, JK, sorry for...
As you can see, Little Cap has been thinking about you,
sorry
too.
Sorry for crippling Don Cheadle. Here's some dick pics.
But as you can see, I'm working just fine.
Sean gets a letter.
The note is basically like, you know, sorry this happened, but if you ever want to, you know, contact me, this is how you can do
hang
it.
Hang out again.
Yeah, basically. And at the same time, they show... a short little montage of him getting all the people who were in the prison underwater out. And that's how the movie ends, pretty much.
So, yeah, you know, about the ending, you know, I was listening to podcasts and trolling boards and stuff like that. The ending seems to be the most decisive thing about this whole film. There's people who hate it, people who love it. The ending meaning like the reveal from like the Winter Soldier killing Tony's parents all the way up to the end, that whole chunk. Some people don't like that because they feel like Tony's being too emotional because it really wasn't, you know, Bucky actually doing the killings.
Yeah, but Tony's not a perfect character, so.
Yeah. So I just want to, we'll go on a round table real quick. What did we all think of the last, you know, the last 20 minutes or so of the whole film? I thought it was just, I mean, I love the whole film, but like I said, I feel the whole... I wanted a more conclusive ending, which... I think it was you, Evan, you said it was like Empire Strikes Back, where it's more of a cliffhanger, which, you know, I can totally live with. But, Sean, what did you think of the ending of the film?
I was okay with it. I think that it leaves you with a feeling like, oh, man, where are we going to go now? Like, how could they possibly... I mean, yeah, they could coexist, but, like, you always have that over top of the other guy.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting little thing. So I'm curious to see what happens after this.
Evan, what'd you think?
I have no problem with it. I actually think that the ending was one of the strongest parts of the movie. Like I said, it's like this is entering phase three. So we're closing a chapter of the Marvel Cinematic Universe where everything's kind of like good and happy and it's getting really shitty. And it's kind of interesting that it ends on a cliffhanger. It ends on a note where things are not wrapped up. And it's obviously there's more to come. And I'm curious to see how this rift is going to affect the rest of the universe. And I have absolutely no gripes with the ending. I think that, like I've been saying the whole time, watching Tony deteriorate over these movies is one of the things that makes him a great character. This is not the Iron Man we saw in 2008. This is not the cocky, you know, billionaire anymore. He was when he was talking to Spider-Man, but that was about it. He's a broken man. And I think that at the end there, he snaps and we see him snap. And I think it's appropriate that he gets emotional. And like I said, with that matter of fact line, you know, he was my friend, so was I. It's like he's done.
he's changed, and I think that it's appropriate. And going into the next phase, this was a great way to kick that off. So, no, I have absolutely no problem with the ending. It's very Empire Strikes Back, and I think people who are complaining are just like, oh, I want a nice little, you know, bow on the end of every story. It's not how it works.
Put a bow on that.
And it feels like the end of a comic book. It feels like you're waiting for the next issue, which I love. These movies are playing more like comics than they are films, and it's great. So, no problems.
Joe, what did you think of the ending of the film?
I had no problem with it. I liked it. I was excited to see where they're going to go. And that's what I love about these movies. You know, one chapter is done, but there's still more to go. There's still more story they're going to tell. And I'm excited to see when this new Avengers group is going to show up, because now the Avengers are split up into two, just like how at the end of Civil War, there's the Secret Avengers and there's the Mighty Avengers. And the Mighty Avengers has Iron Man, and the Secret Avengers doesn't have Cap because in the comics Cap dies, but it has a lot of those people on it. So I'm really excited to see where they're going to go with these two groups of Avengers, and just to see where they're all going to end up by the time Infinity War rolls around. And I really enjoyed the ending.
Good. Chris, what'd you think of the ending?
With the exception of Spider-Man, are we going to see any of those characters until Infinity War?
Black Panther, Iron Man's going to be in Homecoming.
They're making Ant-Man 2. I don't know when, though.
I mean, yeah, any of like the Secret Avengers, are they going to be around?
I don't know. I mean, well, Ant-Man's going to be in his own movie between Infinity War movies.
Yeah, but then that, you know, something could happen in between that.
Maybe they'll make a Secret Avengers movie.
I think anything's possible in a world where Hulk's going to show up in Thor 3. Anything's possible.
Yeah. But Chris, what did you think of the ending of the film?
You know, it made a lot of sense. It was very believable. In most movies, you can't have that many characters, that many plot lines, and it makes sense and works. You know, it's like Spider-Man 3 syndrome. But for this movie, we had 13 movies of character backgrounds, we had room for those new characters, that it made sense. Everything fit very well. And when Iron Man and Captain America, like where they are at the end of the movie, it's like the logical conclusion, you know?
Yeah.
So I really liked it.
Good.
Well. Very well written film overall. I thought the dialogue and the motivations is just, and it ties into the ending. But sorry.
Oh, you know what we never talked about that was really funny?
Well, wait, I just want to get Benny's thoughts on the end of the film.
I thought it was great. I thought that was the perfect way to wrap up this movie. You know, in life sometimes when you have fights with your best friends, it's tough to go home and just put your head down on the pillow and have a new day. You see the emotion with everyone. I like that it went from the seriousness of the fight at the snow castle, Santa's workshop, whatever you want to call it. You had the comedic beat with Stan Lee, you had the heartwarming beat with Don Cheadle trying to walk again, and you had the heartwarming beat of Captain America reaching out to Iron Man. So you weren't left sitting there completely dreading life. You were sitting there going, there's hope. There is hope with their friendship. But right now, things are not good because in reality, it takes a while after you fight with friends. I mean, we've all had fights with some of our close friends.
Some
I know I have.
Some with each other.
Yeah. Some with each other, yeah. So we've had issues like that. And then once that happens, you know, you don't just immediately go back into being friends. It takes a while because you burn some bridges. You hurt some trust. So I like the fact that it doesn't end with me happy. I didn't walk out of there like, oh my god, I'm so happy, everything's great. Oh, it ended.
I was happy with the movie, but
it, well, well, like, well, that, like, emotionally, I left there going, you know what? That's the way a real fight between friends would go, and I'm fine with that. I love the movie, and I thought the ending was a perfect little bow tie. But very well written. The ending was very well written.
Yeah, very well said,
Chris. What was it that you were going to bring up?
We never talked about the Sharon Carter love interest thing.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
I kind of skipped over that. I didn't think it was important.
Well, Sean, I think it's very important, so fuck you.
I mean, it's very sad to see Peggy Carter go, and I kind of feel like that I can't really put my finger on it exactly, but I feel like her death kind of motivates Cap to say no to that whole to the whole thing. And But I kind of knew Sharon Carter was going to be related to Peggy Carter.
Really? What gave it away? Carter?
Well, I don't think they said her name in Winter Soldier.
No, they only said Sharon. They didn't say Carter.
When I saw her, I was in Winter Soldier. I'm like, she's probably going to be related to Peggy Carter somehow. I just didn't think Cap was going to get with her so quickly. But I like when they were going to – when they see Winter Soldier and Don Cheadle, like, oh, yeah.
No, it was Black Panther.
She plays a big part in his death, too.
Oh, it was like Falcon.
Oh, it was Falcon.
Yeah.
It was
Falcon. What were you saying, Falcon?
She plays a big part in his death, too, because she was partly brainwashed by Red Skull and Crossbones.
She actually killed him, yeah.
Yeah, she pulled the final trigger.
Wait, Sharon Carter did?
Yeah,
well, Crossbones shot him from afar, and then when she went to go, like, near him, her, like, brainwashing, like, kicked in, and she, like, had, like, a gun hidden and, like, fired it discreetly, and that, like, gave the killing blow.
Wait, this happened in the movie?
In the comic.
I was about to say, I don't know what movie you watched, but that shit didn't happen.
You stupid
idiot. She shot Captain America in the head with her tongue.
Well, there's that. I mean, and when you have a detail like that, again, it makes me think that they were going to have him killed. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. But also, the scene where they kiss and then there's Falcon and Winter Soldier in the car was so funny.
Yeah.
I like give him the eyes.
There was a lot of funny moments in that we skipped over. I mean, this movie was – and it balanced dark and brooding with funny and lighthearted, with childhood whimsy, with, like, serious plot elements.
But the comedy didn't detract from the greater story.
And I want to just make a
point. Can you move your seat up? No.
I just want to make a point here that a lot of people who listen to our podcast, I'm afraid, are going to say, well, they're a bunch of Marvel fanboys and they're this, that. You know what? At this point, if being a Marvel fanboy means I get an outstanding movie like Captain America Civil War and not a shitty movie like Batman vs. Superman, then fuck it. I'm a Marvel fanboy because I've tried, and I think I've seen everyone else here today restrain themselves from comparing this directly to Batman versus Superman, but it's night and fucking day. I mean,
Dark Knight. And,
you can't
and
deny day. That Dark Knight Superman is a terrible.
It's a bad movie, and I'm really sick and tired of people saying, like, there's a very small minority of people out there who are like, you just don't understand because you're a Marvel fanboy. It's like, you know what? I'm not. But if being a Marvel fanboy means I get good fucking movies and not
it's
terrible
so
ones,
I'm a bad settle. Movie.
Now they're resorting to saying that Disney's bribing critics because now the X-Men Apocalypse reviews came out and they're very lackluster. And well, now there's a petition online for Disney to stop bribing critics.
Well, X-Men. I kind of have a hunch is going to be a subpar movie. And I think some of us have that hunch. We're not going in with X-Men having high expectations because there haven't been couple of X-Men. There have been ups and downs. It's not – with the Avengers, it's consistent. This is a consistently good
America. There's been up and downs in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But, I mean, I'm just saying straight out. I mean, the DCEU has had two movies. One, in my opinion, was okay, and one was atrocious.
You know what's a real sin?
What?
I was watching The Man from U.N.C.L.E. today, and Henry Cavill plays the American spy.
Good movie. Uh-huh.
And I didn't even notice it was him, but I'm like, you know what? He would make a good Superman. And then realized that it actually was Henry Cavill. And I'm like, wow, the right – because he was like a really like, I'm an American Uncle Sam guy. I'm like, this is like his audition for Superman, but they wrote it such a poorly that it just didn't work out.
I'm really I just want to put an end to this whole debate because it's not really a debate. Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice is a bad movie. Captain America Civil War is a very good movie. Yeah. So there's really no in between.
So
there's really no
suck art. A BVS, dick, everyone else.
It's like, BVS is like scientifically bad. Like you can put on paper what is bad about it, the editing,
and
the pacing.
But that same thing about Captain America you put for being good. And look, I love DC. I really do. But the movies that DC pumps out are trash.
Yep.
They're trash.
With the exception of Dark Knight.
Well, that's not... Yeah.
Well, that's not part of the universe.
Well, we're just talking about this movie.
I'll go on record by saying that.
Let's give our letter grade for Civil War.
Are we going to give our rank too?
What about post-credit?
What?
Okay. Bucky gets frozen and Spider-Man gets a flashlight.
There you go.
He gets a flashlight.
Was that Flash?
Yeah, Chris, you know what
this is. Spider-Man
flashlight.
In the comics, it's on his belt and he like shines it on stuff, but they put it on his wrist instead.
Is it like show stuff? It's like a UV light showing?
No, it's just a flashlight, basically.
Oh. You guys didn't see the scene that happened after the Spider-Man scene.
What was that?
The scene where whatchamacallit, Cap wakes up and then he sees some guy like there and he's like, Cap!
All right, no,
it's Pepper Potts. She's the key. Am I too soon?
It's the Flash from Batman. Just like accidentally came here.
Am I in the wrong universe?
Shit,
I'm in the wrong universe.
All right, let's give
the letter grade and then ranking top three.
Yes, okay. Because we're too soon. We're too soon. Okay, I'm gonna give this movie an A-. Sean,
I will give it a B+.
Evan.
I give it an A-, or an A. I give this a solid A.
Joe.
I give it an A as well.
Anus. Chris.
A for anus.
And Benny.
B.
B for Benny. All right, top three Marvel films. Mine is going to be Winter Soldier, Guardians, and...
Oh, is this in no order?
No. No, yeah, no order. I don't want to. We're pressed for time. I don't really want to think about it too hard. But Winter Soldier, Guardians, and Avengers 1. Sean.
I'll go in order. I'll go number three, the first Avengers, number two, Guardians, and then number one, the very first Iron Man.
Good Ooh. Choice. Evan.
Number three, Captain America, Civil War. Number two, Guardians of the Galaxy. And number one, Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Benny.
Jobo, you might want to go before me because I have a lot.
Top three.
I could make a decision on three.
All right, Joe, just go.
Yeah.
This is a really friggin' hard one for me. But Ooh. Number three, Avengers. Number two, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number one, Winter Soldier.
Ooh, I think that was mine. High five. And Chris.
And like I was going to be last. All right. I think probably number three, First Avenger. Number two, The Avengers. And number one, Civil War.
Nice.
Benny, do you have three movies to choose from?
Yeah, I do. Okay, so number three is a tie between Winter Soldier and Wolverine. Number two is
Marvel Cinematic Universe there, Benny. Why don't you slow your horses
down? Okay, fine. Okay, I mean,
maybe
fine.
Take all those horses, universe now.
You take all your horses and you put them back where they belong.
You guys said, in the text, you guys said Marvel movies.
You guys got a text?
you can't be part
Man,
of a
come up with it on the spot.
Okay, in that case then, it's Winter Soldier and Deadpool, then
no,
Marvel Avengers.
No Deadpool.
Nope. No Deadpool.
It's only
and Winter Soldier, Marvel Avengers, and Guardians of the Galaxy. For the
okay,
love of God.
You got it. See, that was you easy. Got,
the text said a lot different than what was said in the podcast.
Well, Benny, Marvel means Marvel Studios. It's very confusing.
I mean, that's what Civil War is under, Marvel Studios. And I apologize, Chris, for not being part of that group text. I don't know why it's fine.
I came up with three anyway.
You can't be part of the group
text. Yeah.
Also, no love for the first Iron Man. What the hell?
No, I love that movie.
It's just not top three.
That's my number one.
That's my number four. It was
fuck all you
tough
people.
To pick three. It's,
I didn't
you know,
like how the terrorist three. Got barbecued.
Some
That's
guy
a very
on Reddit
American movie. I love that movie.
Some guy on Reddit put the original trailer from Iron Man 1 up. It's only 2.5 minutes long, but it literally shows the whole fucking movie. Like every twist, every plot point. It's just like that Batman Superman trailer that we all complained about, but Marvel did it like nearly 10 years ago.
We didn't know what to expect.
They were young. They were dumb.
Yeah, they were young.
Wait. Worst Marvel Cinematic Universe film, real quick. Go, Jason.
Worst Iron Man 3, hands down.
Really,
Sean.
Thor 2.
Evan.
I didn't like The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
I didn't like The Incredible.
Wait,
Hulk.
Can I change my answer to Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
Really? No, I like that. Joe.
Technically, the worst is Thor 2, but my least favorite is Iron Man 3.
Joe, you and I are same wavelength, buddy.
I know. You want to, like, hold hands?
Yes.
I'm
yes,
just
I do.
Kidding, you loser.
Benny.
The Incredible Hulk. Which, I'm tough to pick either one of the Incredible Hulk movies because they're both trash.
Well, yeah. the Incredible Hulk is a cinematic universe one, so
okay.
That's the one you'll have by default.
I have a problem with Ed Norton switching, and I didn't like.
Who,
I love
who
Ed
is the, well? Who is
Ed
the other
Hulk?
A
prick. So.
Ang Lee.
Who is the other Hulk?
Eric Bana.
He was trash.
Well, the movie was trash.
It was all right. And Chris. And Chris. Last one.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
No, that doesn't.
Chris, you know the rules.
Iron Man 3 is the only movie I left angry.
Yeah,
in the Marvel movie. So
it's
not.
It's past the Mandarin twist with that movie. It's just that I get the entire movie is about him. Like, you know, the suit doesn't make the man, but he's not even wearing the suit in any of the movies.
The fact that he had panic attacks the whole movie made me angry.
The fucking Mandarin twist
wasn't good. Iron Man 2 wasn't a good movie.
Iron Man 2
was
better.
A lot worse. 3 had all the Iron Man suits jumped the shark. They all flew on their own.
I didn't see 3. So
2 at least felt like Iron Man.
It really made 2 look good.
3 had that little kid in it that I wanted to punch, and thankfully,
yeah, it's got what everyone wants: no Iron Man and child actors.
But Chris, you did put Civil War as your number one.
Yes, I did. It's my favorite.
Yeah,
hands down.
Very all right, cool. Guys.
Good for you,
Sean. Before we wrap up this lovely, lovely review episode, do you have a miscellaneous story for us?
I do. I have one very special movie-related miscellaneous story.
What the fuck? Right in my ass. Drum roll, please.
The Rock's remaking The Lion King.
Whiplash.
All right. In an attempt to one-up one of our previous miscellaneous stories, which was the 30-day-long movie. I know, Evan, you're looking forward to that one.
I can't wait to camp out in the movie theater to watch that.
There's an even... Well, Evan, I'd like to see you camp out for this one, too. There's an even more insane feat that's being attempted. There's a new movie that's called 100 Years, the Movie You Will Never See.
I've heard about this.
Yes, it's going to be premiering at the Cannes Film Festival in the year 2115.
I'm not going to live that long.
None of us are.
How is this even announced?
Well, the film is directed by Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, it takes 20 years to make, but instead it takes 100 years. Oh, cool.
No, the movie's done. It's been shot and everything. And it stars John Malkovich, who apparently wrote the movie as well. And the movie will not be shown or screened until November 18th, 2115.
I bet it's really bad.
Why?
It's really bad. They're not going to get their investment back.
It's like a time capsule, right?
Yeah, they said the film is going to be in a special safe that is going to automatically open in 100 years.
Like, we're even going to be here in 100 years.
Yeah, what if they
ruling the whole world?
Who cares? Release it and make money, you fuck. What if
they open it up and they're like, what the fuck is this thing? So they just burn it instead. And all that hard
years,
work.
In 100 years, movie. 100
years from now, everyone's going to have a Betamax machine.
Like, in 100 years, movies are going to be like virtual like holodeck spaces, like in Star Trek.
Yeah, there's not going to be any way to play the damn movie.
Well, yeah, no one's going to want to step in a John Malkovich.
That's like if they were in like 1982, they're like, we're going to hide this VHS tape and nobody, this laser disc. In 100 years, you can watch this laser disc. Fuck that.
Probably get us a laser disc player.
Yeah, I have 2 in my house.
Yeah, in 100 years you won't be able to.
But the idea of it is they're trying to predict what the Earth is going to look like in 100 years from now. And I guess the only way to figure that out is to actually release it in 100 years.
There's no polar ice caps.
Why did you send that?
I can't tell who's Miles Teller in that picture.
Anyway, I think the idea is that they want to try to predict, but in the same regard, who cares? Like, does it really matter?
Yeah, this sucks. This is the worst thing you could have
said. If Marvel said they're going to release both Infinity War movies in 100 years, I'll fucking freeze myself to watch them, but no one's going to care about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to wake you up in 100 years, Boxcar, Tango, Charlie.
It's just called 100 Years?
It's called 100 Years, : The Movie You Will Never See. That's the name of the movie.
Someone's going to watch that.
No one's
going to
see it because they're not
going
to have anything to play it on.
I really want to see it because I just really like to watch.
Well, you're not going to.
I know, but I really want to. It's just like that Jerry Lewis Holocaust movie. Like, I really just want to see it, but I know.
Oh, is that the one where he's Hitler and he's like trying to cheer
people
up?
No, he's the clown.
He gets in prison for impersonating Hitler, and then the Nazis make him.
Oh my God, the special effects in this movie are terrible.
Oh, you're looking at the behind the scenes thing?
Yeah, no, it's the trailer, dude. It's awful. Oh my god, it looks like absolute shit.
Well, people would think we all were barbarians back.
They're gonna be like,
time.
Wow, in 2015 they had horrible special effects. Too bad we lost Captain America: Civil War.
We watched movies from station from 1900, and we're like, "Wow, this sucks. It's going to be the same thing."
Yeah, but this already looks bad. It's like if we watched a cheap 1915 movie. You know what I mean? Or 1916.
Thomas Edison films.
Yeah,
the one movie I'd want to watch in 100 years is one of the Star Wars prequels, because those will just be awful still.
The special effects in the 100 years movies look worse than the Star Wars prequels.
Wow.
This looks really terrible. Yeah. I mean, really fucking bad. This is a waste of time.
Aren't you kind of curious, though, to see
it? Yeah, but put a good movie in there. This sucks.
This is what's going to happen. On Rodriguez's deathbed, he's going to reveal the entire movie. And is his
dude,
last
it, no, no, no. Look, it looks like Spy Kids 3D. I'm not
Evan,
even
it's a good thing, because now we don't have to watch it.
Evan, is the CGI as bad as when Pierce Brosnan parasailed a wave?
Honestly, it's that level of bad. You have to see.
Oh my god!
If they had made a masterpiece movie and we didn't get to see it, that would suck. They made a shitty movie, and now we don't have.
They made
to
Battlefield
see it,
Earth
thing.
And buried it.
You gotta understand though, no one has control of anything. There's a timer on the safe that's going to open in 100 years. No one can open it themselves with a code or anything.
If there was something like ISIS information or something, they'd open the damn safe.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll just throw an Apple cell phone in there. The government will get it open.
I think what we need to do is we need to find Nicolas Cage and we need to have him steal this movie.
Yes, we do. He's not doing anything.
No, exactly. Just get a team together, go in, take it.
Yeah, but then we have to pay him, and he does not come cheap.
Well, yeah, he does. He's just doing Redbox movies nowadays. Okay.
I checked it out on IMDb. The cast is literally hero girl, hero, bad guy.
Yeah, there's barely anyone in the movie.
What the fuck is
this? You guys think this was like a scheme to like launder money? That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, this does sound like give us all this money and we'll make this movie, but no one will see it for 100 years. They make
and
some
then 100 years
film.
It'll say, like,
dipshit.
I stole all the money.
What dipshit and sat in a boardroom and said, oh, that sounds like a great investment?
Probably a guy with a fedora.
That's actually probably why the special effects suck ass, because no one wanted to invest in a movie they'll never see or make money on.
I wonder if this is actually a short film as opposed to a feature.
It must be, because
I'm convinced it's money laundering. I'm just putting that down.
You gotta see this.
What if the movie
trailer?
Is just the teaser? What if the movie is just the teaser?
Then we've seen it already.
Yeah, like I'm watching this teaser, dude, and I swear to God, it looks like Spy Kids 3D.
Well, it's Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, no shit.
So for all of our future fans that listen to this podcast 100 years in the future, someone get a Ouija board and communicate with me and tell me if this movie was a money laundering scheme or not.
Could you imagine if...
I can be reached at 666hell.com.
Could you imagine if the only thing that lasted 100 years from now after some nuclear fallout is our podcast, and they had they had to build the world based on us?
It'd be like AI. It'd be like AI, where they would just recreate us.
What we need to do is
we
need to take our podcast and put it on some sort of device and bury it under the ground for 100 years.
And hope that they can play the device in
100
years.
Well, you know what I hope happens? I hope one day we wake up to the Flash coming back from us from the future telling us about this movie.
It sucked.
Chris Holshue's the key to all this.
I knew it.
Can you imagine?
All right, guys, let's put a big old bow on the end of this episode.
Anything else on one of these podcasts?
No, it has to be a bow.
It has to be a bow because it's a gift to all of our fans.
Yeah, fuck you, Jason.
You know what? Suck my dick and use that Jar Jar mask.
I can't. Penis wouldn't fit through the nose hole.
Actually, it's only a tiny little slit. It'll fit just fine.
Yeah, well, a grower, not a show. So you better watch out. all right, I lost my train of thought.
I'm Jason Green.
You can follow me on Twitter at jgreen89 and follow my YouTube reviews, Green Screen Reviews. Follow this podcast, blah blah pod 1. Evan,
You can follow me on the Twitters at EvanMoore1105 or on the Instagrams at EvanMoore1105. Hey, if you want to be my friend, friend request me on Facebook. I don't care. We could be friends. We could talk sometimes. That's fine. Just if you tell me Batman vs. Superman's a good movie, I'll make sure your whole family looks like a bunch of chickens.
Sean, plug yourself, you fucker.
You can find me on Twitter at @_Brackshow, as well as my movie review Twitter handle, which is at Smartass Reviews. I reviewed Civil War on there, so go check that out as well.
Okay. I reviewed Civil War on my Twitter review too. It's called at 140.
Sorry, Evan, your time's up.
Yeah, fuck you, fuck. Damn.
Joe, plug yourself.
You can follow me at JoboCop93 on Twitter. And you can do the Blah Blah Earth contest. You take a selfie of you anywhere on the planet Earth. Hashtag it Blah Blah Earth. Now, the original prize was going to be a signed DVD copy of the 1997 Jim Carrey comedy classic, Liar Liar. However, I'm changing the prize.
Ooh.
You will not receive a signed DVD copy of Liar Liar. You will receive a signed Blu-ray copy of Liar Liar because it's out on Blu-ray now.
Woo!
Did you buy one?
Now someone's going to buy the damn Blu-ray.
I got too many DVDs of it, but you know I'm going to change it up to the Blu-ray for our loyal fan who decides to do this. If you already have a DVD copy, why not get a Blu-ray copy?
It looks better.
Ariana.
And Benny, but plug yourself.
God damn it, it's not going to work. You can find me in the streets. No, you can find me on Twitter, but it'll take you 100 years to follow me, at the BNP Express.
Christopher Holshue, you got anything to plug?
Yeah, you can contact me in 100 years via Ouija board from the pits of hell. I'll be a level 7 poltergeist by then.
What's this, Scientology?
Polterology and polteronomy.
Wow, that sounds dangerous.
I have a dual major.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for bearing with us through this awesome Captain America Civil War spoilerific review.
You were going to
spoiler alert.
Yeah, by the way. please share us what you thought of the movie. Share with us what you thought of the movie.
And I swear to God, if anyone says Batman vs. Superman is better, you're just
please
wrong.
Say that. Please, at EvanMoore 1105, how much wrong. BVS is better than CW?
You're just wrong.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back next week for another awesome podcast, more in line with what we've been doing already. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Pornhub. We will see you next week.
Yeah, I have a new Pornhub account. I wasn't actually going to announce that until next week, though.